The following podcast contains naughty language and ridiculous situations. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Trick or Treat Radio Presents Correspondence Playhouse. Today we have a letter written by the Iron Sheik to Gawker and Hulk Hogan, read by Buffalo Bill.
Dear Hulk Hogan, everybody knows you, the all the America. You, the legend. You always try to eat your vitamin and say the prayer. You always put the fans first. Everyone knows forever I am the legend. And without Iron Sheik, there is no Hulkamania. I sell out the Madison Square Garden. And I did the honors for you and Mr. Kennedy McMahon. When I could have broke your leg instead. You, the pave way for WrestleMania and new generation. Welcome to Trick or Treat Radio.
Welcome to episode 189 of Trick or Treat Radio. Trick or Treat Radio is a phantasmagorical spin kick straight through the heart of pop culture, navigated by the Deadites. The Deadites are the world's greatest electroshock band. We destroy monsters, we drink booze, we win championship belts, and apparently we read letters from the Iron Sheik in the voice of Ted Levine.
Yes, but bear in mind, Buffalo Bill's penis is 10 inches long, as opposed to Ted Levine's.
Okay. Right. His is, how big is Ted Levine's?
Five.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
He's probably got a big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, with a fucking voice like that, he probably does.
He's got a fucking knee in it.
You know? You know how I make my penis 10 inches long? I fold it in half.
It's funny because it's not even close.
Yeah,
to
you know. You know, somebody asked me like I
did the tuck video. I know.
You need a long lens.
Shit wasn't hanging down past your knees.
I was hanging out with the lovely and talented Myra K. Rock tonight, and
I'm sorry for her.
We were talking about, you know, the fact that Monta Zero is married but not married. He's in some kind of denial.
No, don't mention marriage. No.
Well, it came to the conclusion that at some point Monta Zero would have had to spit some game, right? Like even if it's all gone sour now and it's like that worst house on the left.
Like, yeah, it's like, hey baby, you want to get out of here alive?
Yeah. Did he use all of his good stuff? Like, what did you say?
Yeah, how did that go?
Yeah.
What?
Like when you were picking up your Mrs. Zero.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of things did you say to her? Like, was it like the Lipton don't live here anymore?
Like, no.
What sort of stuff did you say?
Hey, does this smell like chloroform?
Was that bra on sale? I want to see it 100% off.
You've used that before, haven't you?
No, I haven't. Yeah, third time.
Yeah, you have.
It was first time.
Yeah, you have.
It was first time.
Well, did someone take their bra?
Regardless, it worked about as good here.
Well, I tried.
I didn't do anything. According to Mrs. Zero, it was my eyes.
That's it?
That's pretty much it.
The black eyes like a doll.
Yeah.
And those are the
yes.
Those are the dulcet tones of our good buddy and host of Talk Without Rhythm, the powerful El Goro.
Hey guys, I just want to let you know that my appearance on this show means that I'm giving up a 2 out of 3 falls match between Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe, a triple threat match between Prince Puma, Pentagon Jr., and Mil Muertes, and a zombie board game with my weekly geek group. So you better make this good for me, guys.
Jesus Christ. Why didn't you tell me that?
We want to say goodbye to El Goro.
Yeah, El Goro.
In fact, we want to say goodbye to everybody else. We're going to go join El Goro in that shit.
Of course, if I was doing any of those, I couldn't talk about kill or be killed. All right. Let's do this.
You're a fucking professional, Goro.
Well, first of all, last time we had Wendy Freeman on, she missed a 35mm screening of French Connection.
She wins.
So, and now El Goro's missing all this. Well, the good thing about the wrestling is you can catch it later.
This is true. This is absolutely true.
The game...
And in the case of Lucha Underground, I usually have to catch it later for reasons that I can't disclose over public airwaves. Johnny knows.
I'm gonna do a misdirect. It involves a box of tissues and
exactly, man. It takes a long time to lube my entire self up, man. And there's a lot of me, and only so much I can get out of that little squeeze bottle.
It sounds like El Goro gets cable the same way that Monza Zero got the Spice Channel.
Yeah. Hey,
I got it.
Through totally legitimate means.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So, El Goro, why don't you go ahead and tell folks about Talk Without Rhythm? At this point, if they haven't checked it out or if they haven't heard of you, they're fucking crazy and they're missing out. But why don't you go ahead and let them know where they can find it and what's been going on Talk Without Rhythm?
All right, well, Talk Without Rhythm is my weekly movie discussion podcast. Usually cover about 2 to 3 movies. You can find it at tworpodcast.blogspot.com. And since we are in the month of March, which is my birthday month, I've devoted all of the episodes in this month to discussions of my favorite directors. Currently, I've done one episode, and it was devoted to John Carpenter, where I talked about some of his films that I haven't gotten around to in the 6 years that Talk Without Rhythm's been around. So I ran down Prince of Darkness, In the Mouth of Madness, and his entry into the Masters of Horror show, Cigarette Burns.
Yeah,
word. Damn good time.
I feel
Cigarette
like those
Burns is good.
Yeah, it is good. I feel good, like that's that is a that is the tone that I would like to see a Constantine television show or film.
Yeah, made. Right.
Yeah,
I fucking love Masters of Horror.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Go ahead. I thought a lot of the episodes were really hit and miss, particularly when you got into the second season. But yeah, there are some real gems into there, and I'm looking forward to the next episode because inspired by a not too far ago appearance from one Mr. Dynamo Mars and one Miss Stephanie Wiley on the show, where we finally got some Takashi Miike on the episode. The next episode I'm going to be doing is going to be all devoted to him. So I'm going to be running down Ichi the Killer, The Great Yokai War, and his entry into the Masters of Horror imprint.
Ooh, that one's very good.
Yeah, imprint was excellent.
I'm kind of nervous to go back into it. I haven't watched it in almost a decade. Do you feel old that it's been that long since it came out?
Lee Van Cleef, too, man.
No, it was Billy Drago, man.
Oh, Billy Drago, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, that's a strange juxtaposition.
Yeah.
It is, man. And as far as the movies I chose for Miike, I wanted to try to capture the breadth of his career, and you really can't get more disparate than Ichi the Killer and Great Yokai War.
Yeah, for sure. And Imprint, the interesting thing about that is a lot. If you just watched Masters of Horror, you never would have seen it because it never aired on Masters of Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently they invite Miike over and he's just too hardcore for the Masters of Horror, man. Yep.
Yeah. And I didn't really want to get into a discussion of this because I want people to tune into your show, but I don't necessarily think it should have not been played. It should have been played.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I the last time I watched it was, again, about a decade ago before I had really done a lot of deep dives into the more transgressive side of horror cinema. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go into that and you've seen, even if you've seen stuff like Ichi the Killer Audition, if you haven't gone into the extreme end, then that show could be very, very effective on you. I know it definitely sort of messed me up, which is probably the reason I haven't watched it in a decade. Yeah. So I'm curious to go back and watch it with slightly more jaded, seasoned eyes, mm-hmm. and see if I can draw something more out of it than just holy fuck, that was disturbing.
Yeah.
It's the American sex versus violence thing, right? Like, I found Argento's to be much more unnerving.
Yeah.
You know, like, not that I found I didn't find Miike's one to be softcore or anything like that or wimpy. It definitely bugged me. Mm-hmm. But conceptually, I found in both in delivery, and this is something you can't say about him much past 1980, I found Argento's to be much, you know, more uncomfortable because there was like a, you know, is about an ugly, maybe underage girl giving some booths.
And biting the head off of Dirk Diggler's prosthetic penis.
It's true.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sold.
Sold.
Well, he didn't do just that one. He also did the one with Meatloaf.
Yeah, Pelts.
Pelts. That's
Pelts, yeah. From season
what was,
two.
What was the one that had fucking the guy from Cheers?
Oh, George was Wett? That the... Whoa, fuck, what was that?
The bees were going, and all, like, the men were running amok. They were killing all women.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Wasn't he in two? Because wasn't he also in the neighbor one?
That might have been the same one.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
That was my
I did a review on it for a newspaper a few years ago.
Whoa, you had more than one fucking written review? Why don't we have that in your intro? Yeah.
Former Telegram and Gazette author.
Yeah, I did.
Jesus, man.
I just never thought
we've been shortchanging.
Was that the same publication that I...
It might have been. It's like in a penny saver, like you could get at a store or whatever.
Oh, no. Did you take my job at the Valley Shopper?
Maybe that's what it was. Oh, was that your job?
Yeah.
I wrote for them.
Yeah, if by take it you mean that I never want to see you fucking maniacs again. That's a weird publication.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I found it. He was in an episode called Family, which was the second one that John Landis did after The Dear Woman.
The one scene I remember from Family was the there was a really good dissolving scene of acid on a human face, and it just looked really, really cool. That's the only thing I remember from that movie, though.
This was one of those instances where you had a sentence in there.
it almost worked out that way.
Yeah. I do want to give.
I know what you mean.
I want to give a quick shout out because
to the devil.
Well, we'll give one out to him too.
This
sure.
episode is dedicated to the devil in all your forms.
This is dedicated to the
You've
devil.
You've always been there for me.
Long distance Satan. Dedication.
The Beelzebub.
Very, very long distance.
Mephisto. Blackheart.
This is Delilah.
Blackheart.
This is Delilah. We have Satan on the phone.
Well, I was going to give a call out to one of El Goro's friends who just posted a picture. This is Caitlin. I won't mention full name, you know, for anonymity purposes, but says, since El Goro is skipping game night to be on with you guys, we're tuning in live to see what all the fuss is about.
El Goro games with a girl? Nice.
Shit.
Actually, most of the group are girls in that.
Can we come over?
You are so desperate.
Yeah, I mean,
can we come over?
Yeah.
Please?
How far is... Was he in Ohio?
Girls, boobies.
Don't be fucking crass.
No, listen to you.
No, I just want to, I just want to hang out with new people.
Tell him don't be crass.
Yeah, that said, when I was young and spry like El Goro, I think a good portion of one of my two game groups were lady folk.
There you go.
You be the pink
and then
Jesus Christ, dude.
No, man. And then I had a guy who I played with, and I stopped playing with him for a while, and I came back, and he was a
guy. We always knew you were bi.
Yeah, he could be the Black Ranger.
So, yeah. No,
I'm stuck.
I didn't know. Though I did really, I won't say the person's name, but I thought he was a cool guy. But out of curiosity's sake, I totally wanted to bang him when he turned into a girl. I had some questions.
Suddenly, I feel safer just sitting next to Raven Shadow.
You're an ugly girl and a boy, but she.
Yes, I am.
He was an okay looking. He was a normal looking guy, like a game nerd guy.
He's a boy.
Into a pretty girl. Yeah.
We have a bunch of people hanging out in the chat room. We have Melissa.
Oh,
hey, baby. Hey,
slow down.
And she says, "I'm ready." Rocky, our buddy Rocky's hanging out.
All right, Rock.
Rocky made me shed a tear this week. Because I was flipping through pictures on either Instagram or Facebook or one of those. Mm-hmm. And Rocky was playing guitar, and he looked like my dear, dear lost friend, Scott Ritchie, in this one particular photo. We were in the studio, and I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, sure. It looked like a new post, and I was so confused, but it was Rocky.
Well, Rocky says someone needs to give me a medal for showing the fuck up tonight, or at least a dirty hair-covered grilled sardine and Bacardi sandwich. Or Hacardi. Is it Hacardi or Bacardi? I'm not sure. But
medals in the mail.
Yeah. We'll get...
Speaking of medals, I thought El Goro was going to do my surgery.
What?
Was he doing all the way in cat? I thought you were responsible for my surgery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what Jakey told me. It's not true.
How was that supposed to happen?
I'm not sure. You don't know how to do that?
I mean, I could maybe choke you out before it begins.
Could
and
be
then
true.
Just, you know, just lay back, man. It'll be all be over soon. But that's about as far as my medical expertise goes.
Tiny told me the procedure consisted of someone taking off my head.
Oh,
and
okay.
They were going to dump the cancer out.
I'm used to dumping on cancer on a regular basis, yeah. So I guess I'm qualified.
Yeah, so well, that procedure sounds reasonable.
He dumps on the cancer man, too.
Exactly.
It's been nice hearing the cancer man lately on Talk Without Rhythm.
Yeah, it's because all of his other geek friends aren't doing anything because the weather is not inclement to that. So whenever he isn't out in the woods hitting people with foam, he decides to show up on the podcast. It's a nice little dynamic we get going.
LARPing.
Kind of.
we're covering the whole fucking geek gamut tonight.
Right.
Right.
What do they call that? LARPing? Live action role?
Not there's a G in there. It's not lapping.
Yeah.
It's not lapping?
No.
LARPing.
LARPing. LARPing. What did I say?
LARPing.
You said lapping.
I feel like I said that. Girl, you're from Ohio. We speak differently up here.
So, yeah. He speaks correctly.
Yeah.
So you guys still playing Pathfinder?
Oh, yeah, man. We got three different games going. We got I'm running a Pathfinder game. My buddy Jay is running a 7th Sea game. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Caitlin is running a Serenity game. So are reaching Max Geekdom.
I highly recommend that you guys, and it's a cheap buy. I've recommended it to you on more than one occasion. We are knee-deep in a pretty great Savage Worlds game right now.
I've heard good things about that setting or that system, but I've never played a game.
Yeah, it's the system is like negligible. It feels like one of those games where you go a long time without rolling,
mm-hmm.
but it's just so simple, the whole setup of it, that you just kind of move along, and even combat most of the time, goes by pretty quick.
Nice.
So we've somehow, my depraved friends have changed it. Like, it was supposed to be like an Indiana Jones high adventure game, but we're such terrible people. Like we are the worst humans on earth in real life and in this game. Like, we skinned somebody last week. Like, it was bad because he had a tattoo that had a symbol on it. So as opposed to taking him with us, the answer was skin him, obviously.
Huh. See, I would like to see that movie, man. Just a totally ruthless Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought we were all going to be the Guy Gardner of the group a little bit. And then it turns out everyone kind of picked that character. Like, one guy. It's an alternate World War One where Germany won.
Nice.
Yeah, and like one guy is like kind of a baron of New Jersey, and I play I play a character named Julian Driver.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
What? What do we mean?
I'm Joe Canio.
Yeah.
And if anybody is listening to this and your eyes are rolling back in your head and you're just thinking, "Oh, you fucking nerds, fuck you! I'll meet you out in the parking lot."
I know. You bring a chain. I'll bring a fucking bull rope with a.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, the big rumor going around is that Mr. Stan Hansen might be going into the Hall of Fame this year.
That'd be good.
Well, they are in Texas.
It's true. I just definitely watched a match where the whole match consists of him and Terry Funk punching each other in the forehead for 10 minutes.
I love wrestling.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, Savage Worlds. I've been wanting to play with these guys, but everybody's so busy.
I'd love to fucking roleplay with these guys.
Dude, you should do that and film it and put it up on YouTube, man. You guys keep looking for content, and you got that sweet studio space.
That's the one thing that'll go viral.
We used to do it at Denny's.
It's true. We used to play at Denny's.
That's a restaurant, Goro.
I'm aware of what Denny's.
Jesus.
Do they have those in Ohio? I'm air quotes.
Yes, they do indeed have it in Ohio.
Oh, shit.
We even got Dunkin' Donuts as well.
Really?
It's not a principal part of our culture like it is for you massholes.
Do you guys have Boston style over there?
I have no idea what that is.
It's funny. A buddy of mine went to Chicago, and they mentioned Boston style was a thing.
Oh, God.
And
10 minutes later down the alley.
You know, but essentially,
is this going to take long?
That's what your girlfriend said.
She never said that.
No, she's like, can you wrap it up? No, but Long Story Endless is a regular, which is, two creams, two sugar in New England. We started the country. You're welcome. It's called Boston style. Dynamo was hit by a dart. No, enjoy Dunkin' Donuts.
I give up.
You guys got lights out now in Ohio?
No, actually. We fear the sun as much, and so we try not to replicate it, because we fear that if we actually turn on a light during the nighttime, the sun will get jealous and never return. We're very savage people out here. I actually I'm only communicating through lengths of twine that Johnny has actually rigged up over there. So.
He doesn't even sound like that. It's just a strange trick of the twine.
Exactly.
Okay, well, good luck.
I went there to visit him.
I'm sorry, I love you, Goro. You
and
know
I was
this.
Like, "Hey, Goro, where are you?" He's like, "Here I am."
Hey, guys, talk about rhythm.
Yep. Lots and lots of post-production that goes into this.
Kind of like that movie with Christian Slater. Everybody knows.
Oh, what? Pump up the volume, man.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, pump up the volume.
What
it's
does Leonard
awesome
Cohen
flick
have to do with that?
No, because he had the Hot Harry voice.
Yeah, but oh, you know what? I'm getting confused because the soundtrack has
the wrong version.
The wrong version, yeah.
Yep.
Which told my reality apart because I have it on cassette.
Oh, that's
which nice. I got to throw out a plug. If you are a fan of Pump Up the Volume, make sure you go check out the projection booth because they just did an awesome episode on it.
Oh,
ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
I don't just plug my shit. I plug other people's shit.
Plug our shit, yeah, but that's
I've,
great.
I
no
plug your shit
all the time. I have a quick plug. If you guys have an extra two pence, as Wooperman would probably say, go to Film for Thought podcast at filmforthought.com and download their double retrospective that I did with the boys about the cinematic Batman.
How did the Nolan ones go?
You know what? I don't want to ruin it, but I will say that the one I thought was the best, I really don't like now, and the one that I liked the one I liked the least, I still like the least. The one I think the best.
So Batman Begins is the one you like the most now, and then The Dark Knight you don't like. that's my guess. You don't have to confirm. Yeah. That's my guess.
Spoiler alert, I still say 66 is the best. So.
I got a quick question for you guys, since you all are wrestling fans. Ooh. On a scale of 1 to a million, how excited should I be that Chikara just posted a picture that says, on April 2nd, we're dusting off an old favorite, and it's Chikara Tag World Grand Prix.
Is it Cleveland?
No, they just posted up a picture. But
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is really, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's just a tag team tournament.
I am a fan of that.
And they typically bring people from outside in for those as well.
Hopefully.
They redid their logo to make it look like Metallica.
Nice. Oh, shit.
They're going to get sued.
Lars is going to get pissed. Just so you know, Metallica is an award Grammy winning band.
Yeah.
They're Sue happy.
I would love to get that here, that phone call. Quack.
This is Lars. I play drums.
No, it would be the lawyer.
I didn't go to bed first.
I'm the new guy in Metallica. I've been there for the past 7 years, and nobody still knows who I am.
My dad played fucking tennis. Knows who Robert Trujillo is.
Yeah, and he also...
You can't even say it.
I know. He also
doesn't sound like
it's Trujillo. He was the bassist for Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh, well, good for him.
Was he also in Faith? No.
He was in POD, too, right? No?
No.
He was in, a contemporary band.
He's the best part of Metallica right now, because he plays fucking bass like Hank McCoy.
He's a beast on bass.
He really is. Like watch him playing. He looks like fucking if Hank McCoy had a bass. And it's fucking excellent. I love
that
dude.
That's the trick. You know, the normal nice deadites got to 35. We went and got like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Now that 20-year-old is at 35. We're gonna go get another 20. There's gonna be like 50 girls on stage by the time I give it up.
I can't wait for the next show.
I was getting to the chat room about 10 minutes ago. Let me get back
too
to
bad
it.
Yeah, we're going to really finish at 12.
Melissa says, 20 inches, too much for me. Sad face.
Oh. See you later, MZ.
Rocky says, I took 20 10 minutes ago, and I am hungry again. Pace yourselves. In the Mouth of Madness, not just a movie and book, but directions to MZ's glory hole on I-95.
Oh, did you just get that?
Is anyone else concerned about Raven Shadow in the movies this week?
No, because we know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just wondering, because last week he couldn't wrangle a movie that was confined inside a theater. These two movies are on the loose. These movies are just out on the...
He had me cracking up last week when Raven Shadow was like, that's in a movie theater. And MZ was like, yeah, that's typically where you find fucking movies.
That seemed too obvious.
Yeah, well, you know,
the last place you look.
You know, logic is my strong suit.
Jeremy McFarland's hanging out in the chat room.
What's up, buddy?
And he says, so Dynamo is playing with a guy and he doesn't know his name. Damn, dude.
Not that that's, like, any different than behind the Lucky Dog at 2 a.m. after any show, but I'm not sure specifically what time you're speaking of.
Who's fixing the truck?
Yeah.
And Melissa's wondering if you're falling asleep, MZ.
No, I'm not. I'm not falling asleep. I am a bit tired.
I got plenty of coffee
asleep
over here.
Fuck. God damn it. Chris taking a drink, too.
Chris McGibbon is hanging out.
Oh, snip. What's up, baby?
Chris says, Raven Shadow knows a movie?
Yeah.
We're all waiting for him to answer that one.
John Movie. I went to high school with him.
And Jeremy McFarlane says Goro is the man.
It's so true.
No, Jeremy's the man. He's just about to launch his own podcast.
Come on. I can't wait for that shit.
Yeah, that's
right?
Awesome. Yeah. That's amazing.
It should be tight.
And Rocky says, fuck Lars and his whiny, bitchy tennis sorted ass.
There you go, Rock.
There you go.
And then also on the thread that Caitlin commented on, she also says, oh, don't apologize. I just like giving him shit. I actually listen regularly. But given the opportunity, I couldn't resist having the rest of the group chime in. And our group is an even 50-50 of guys and girls.
Yeah, but, you know, they got such strong personalities that they dominate all the men in the group. And we're all just kind of there singing like, ah! And, you know. They just run roughshod over us all the time.
For a few years, my friend, our friend, the Red Queen, joined my predominantly like male group, and I don't think we played the whole entire time.
What?
I think they were just all like the DM would be like, "All right, it's time for you to move. It's going to."
Why you roll slowly?
Yeah.
You sound like him doing his Pulp Fiction impersonation.
Oh, Pulp Fiction impersonation.
No, what was that? The Behemoth?
Reservoir Dogs.
I thought you were pointing at Raven Shadow, and I think Raven Shadow thought you were pointing at Raven Shadow. We were both like, Pulp Fiction?
That's not my fault.
Yeah,
and I got the movie wrong,
they were really intimidated.
You have just listened to
Big Daddy Don Bodine's truck, The Behemoth.
The Behemoth. Twelfth caller gets the tickets.
In their defense, like I was talking about, the only girl that had ever played with them before that was a guy first, so they got to like ease into it.
Wait, which girl?
I'm not telling it. Just in case you meet him in the crowd.
Shit. That's weird.
All right. Well, let me run down what's going on tonight.
So, yes.
We'll get done by 12.
Can we do this instead?
We sort of have alluded to it, but tonight we're going to review two flicks. First up, we're going to review the horror western Kill or Be Killed. This recently hit VOD. And wonder if we can catch lightning in a barrel once again with the last horror western we reviewed, which was Bone Tomahawk. Yes. So, let's revisit the genre, and we'll see what we think of Kill or Be Killed.
Oh.
And then later on, we have a crossover event. It's been going on all week long in the Grand Guignol Network. And we have the Horror Pack crossover event. So what we did was we got four films from Horror Pack they sent to us. We did an unboxing video. You can find that on our YouTube channel. Just go look for the Deadites TV. You can check out MZ and Mars just talking about the flicks and unboxing it. And then, so we're going to review The Dead Hate the Living. That's the one that we chose, or Mars chose for us.
I just got to say, I got beef with you because I watched that unboxing video, and I was very disappointed that we didn't get to sit down and talk about Chupacabra. So I think somebody fucked up on the programming there.
Well, no, what happened here is that I thought I was going to be able to dodge a bullet because I had seen this one before.
Uh-huh.
But then I realized when I sat down and like started thinking about it that was like 20 years ago.
Almost. It came out in 2000.
Yeah,
so.
Well, actually, your former place of employment lent it to me a few days early because I was going away on a Monday, and I think movies came out on Wednesday. Is that right? Or
I wasn't there, so yeah. I don't know how you got it. I had been gone from there for like a year or two.
Yeah, I think probably more than that for a long time because I was... I was going away with that crazy foreign girl, so, and I was all excited to watch this movie, and
then the full moon logo came up.
Oh,
it's all downhill.
It was kind of nostalgic.
I love fucking full moon, dude.
I gotta say that Puppet Master comic that's coming out right now is really fucking good.
I marked out over the Puppet Master fucking action figure commercial.
Yeah,
not the art. No offense if you're listening, artists. Like, you know, it's not that it's bad. It's not crazy about the art, but the story is really good. They're really doing a good job of
Blade. He'll cut you.
I'm telling you, man, it's good.
Blade.
One of the best horror comic books I'm reading right now.
Which is what?
The Puppet Master comic.
Oh, okay.
That was an awkward thing though. Like the time I had to where over at Rubber Chicken, they're like, Mars likes horror comics, and like in passing, they were like, hey, do you want me to put the Puppet Master comic aside? I'm like, sure. Then when I finally made my way to Rubber Chicken Comic, I had like 15 issues of Puppet Master I had to take home without reading one.
Aww.
I was like, oh, no. I was like, this is... And I'm like flipping through it. I'm like, oh, no.
It's terrible. So that's what's going on for tonight. And we also have some a little bit of feedback right now. If you have some more feedback, make sure to get it into us quick, because we want to play it on the air. And I guess that's it. Let me go ahead and introduce everyone, since we're already like almost a half hour in. Might as well just do it now. I am Johnny Wolfenstein, the pencil pusher and producer of media for Trick or Treat Radio, the Deadites, and the Grand Guignol Network. We also have the Immortal Gunslinger, the singer and lyricist for the Deadites. Speaking of which, I want you to talk about that in a sec, Mars. And one of the co-hosts of the Elm Street Kids Movie Club, which just released today, yep. House number 9, we've done him on Mars.
Hey, guys. This might be my last show for a while.
Number 9.
So if that's the case, I love you guys. I'll see you when I get back.
Mars, before you talk about that, I want you to talk about this past weekend.
Oh. Yeah, the Deadites snuck into the studio this weekend to...
Literally snuck in and got kicked out.
Yeah, to like, get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out of here.
Bands are recording. And they... it was just me, Miss Matrix, and Tiny. And we had Oracle on the phone because she's the only one that can remember any of the lyrics. And we just recorded a bunch of stuff. Like, just kind of like... I decided I was going to do it like a filmmaker. And I recorded... everyone's line, you know, like I filmed everyone's line and then got the coverage I thought I needed.
You were like Carando?
Yeah. And then got the coverage I thought I needed. And, you know, with the exception of me, everybody can come back and give me a little more if they need. But I won't say what it's for, but we recorded a few, like, what people who are in the area that get to see us live would refer to as our greatest hits. Those two lost records that we still own the songs, but we physically own one of those CDs because Johnny Wolfenstein did some B&E. But we recorded a record twice that has a lot of songs that we play a lot, and due to falling out with managements at the time, we don't have those records, so... we recorded a few of those songs. I won't say what they were, but I think that everyone who has been asking for a bunch of those songs will be really, really happy about them. It was cool. And we probably could have got 5 songs done, but, you know, there wasn't any Johnny Wolfenstein or Oracle to, like, kind of wrangle us. So we were just really mean to each other for a lot, and somehow some music came out. So I was really happy. It felt good. It was mostly put by the fact that if we don't record these now... There is according to my surgeon, there is a 5% chance that I won't be able to record them ever. Mm-hmm. And even though that's only a 5% chance and very unlikely, I would have felt really bad if people have been bugging me for 10 years to record a certain song, and I never did. So
there you go. It's exciting, folks. And Dynamo, you seem like you were kind of reinvigorated by things.
Yeah. Tiny and I are doing some scoring this week as well. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. It was nice. Some of it just fell together through proximity. You know, like it's due now, and some of it fell together from, you know, what we were talking about before. So it was good. But I feel the most alive when I'm singing, or doing whatever it is I do. That's, you know, me, the strange animal that I am, mimicking human singing. So it was really good.
And also, so Dynamo, obviously you're going under the knife on Friday, right?
Oh, and real quick, you know what I did also recorded? I recorded a song that people have been asking for that has never been recorded.
Ooh.
That was not on that original CD those two times we recorded it. So, yeah, it's a really sexy song, too.
Ooh, Tall Talking Dead.
No. Oh, I know. I think I know.
Yeah,
so. All right. So there you go. And Dynamo, you're going to go under the knife on Friday the 11th.
Yeah, they're going to take my head off and dump the cancer out.
Yep.
It's actually not.
They're going to transplant it onto a big monkey.
Yeah.
And, it's like the thing with two heads.
It's not even the cancer that's going to fuck me up. It's them finally taking this fucking cyst off my voice box.
So they're doing both in one?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I wasn't sure.
Good. Yeah, so.
Good. I wasn't sure if they could do both at the same time or not.
That's the plan. I kind of... as I have slyly brought a doctor with me to some of those appointments, like my faith in the other doctor's doctoring has gone down minorly. But we'll see. That's the plan. That's what it said. I applied for my short-term disability today. So you know, it's shit's real now. Those were I had my pre-op, and I talked to the company that handles the fact that I can't work for 3 or 4 weeks. So,
well.
Yeah, the only thing that's really scary is not knowing. You know, 5% chance is still a chance. I maybe need radiation afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, if it was like, we're going to do this.
You could get superpowers.
We're going to do this. I hope so. Well, I've learned that all right. El Goro, are you sitting down? I can't see you.
I'm currently levitating in place. But yeah.
Well, that could be dangerous, because what I'm going to tell you is going to blow your mind. I know we've steadfast by this our whole life. But Stan Lee didn't know anything about science.
What?
That shit will just give you cancer. Like, more cancer. Like you won't get powers.
That changes everything.
Excelsior. Yeah.
If you get bit by a radioactive spider, you will get a rash and probably leukemia. And then also poison. Depending on your allergy tolerance, you may get sick from getting bit by a spider.
Some like anal leakage.
Yeah, if you get too close to a bomb going off trying to save a young vagabond, you probably just get evaporated. You won't turn into the Hulk. This is all bullshit.
So
yeah.
Gamma rays is all bullshit?
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Good band, but...
Yep. Well, just remember, Mars, that when you go into your operation, you get all that shit cleared up, your voice comes back stronger than ever. I'm expecting a pretty badass Deadites cover of Twisted Sisters Under the Blade. That's all
I have. Under the Blade.
Can I...
He's going to sound like Wolfman Jack when he comes back.
And then when he's fully healed, he's going to sound like Patrick Stewart.
Can I sit and explain Al Gore how it's not a song about sadomasochism?
Yes, that is also expected.
Yeah.
And just remember, man, the lead singer for Jawbreaker went in for a very similar operation, and then he came back off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, look at it this way.
Thank you for that advice, because everybody else is like, you know what happened to Steve Perry?
Fuck Steve Perry.
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm like,
but he's making a comeback this year.
Yeah, and not even that. Or they're like, and then they'll be on the bright side. They'll be like, but Steven Tyler, he had something the matter with his voice. I'm like, that guy has Steven Tyler money, though.
Yeah, like Jim Henson, who had the cold.
Yeah. Thanks.
Jesus Christ. All right. We also have the vulgar guru of horror, cast member of Morbid Vengeance films. You know what? Let me change that to star of Blood Pigs and Fetus. One-time contributor for Horror Hound magazine and also some paper you've never heard of. Yep. And the architect of disrespect, Monster Zero.
And don't disrespect me, man. I watched Fuller House all Sunday and Monday, man.
Naked on the couch.
I wasn't naked, man. It was awesome.
He was wearing a thong, folks.
Let me tell you something. There's some pretty sharp writing on that show.
No, there was.
No, actually.
Yeah, Walt Whitman, stand aside.
They're going to win a fucking award. What's the award for Netflix?
The Netflix Award. Yeah.
It wasn't Walt Whitman. It was Sean Waltman. He wrote it.
The Netty Awards. I don't know.
The Netty Pots.
Netty Pot.
Yeah, you just pour it through your nose.
All right. It's good writing. All right.
Yeah, no. It's actually, you know, it maintains that late 80s, early 90s style of sitcom.
Okay. Lowest common denominator Saturday fucking morning
you know, the
TGIF.
The old TGIF, you know, like Family Matters and that whole
shit. The shit we all watched while we were waiting for something better to come on, and we're too lazy to change the channel.
Yeah, before we got Girls and Cars.
Well, apparently there were a lot of people that did that.
What we watched while waiting for our fucking licenses.
Yeah.
Right?
No, but it some of the writing is actually pretty sharp.
I've never wanted Tiny White to be here so bad.
Give me an example of sharp writing on Fuller House.
Okay.
Cut it out.
there's a scene where DJ and his and her ex-boyfriend ex-boyfriend decide to relive the early 90s by going out on a date together. So
heroin or flannel.
Holy shit, this is next level stuff.
Wow. No, listen.
Was there a bullwhip reference?
And Joe Dorowsky's Fuller House.
And she's and he says to her, "Well, I got some Alanis Morissette in the car," and she goes, "You know what that song's about, right?"
That's some next level shit right there.
That's a
self-referential.
That's because she blew Dave Coulier.
That's right.
So, surprise, surprise, a show that only exists because of 90s nostalgia is nostalgic for the 90s.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. That's fucking next level writing.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm in.
Sold.
I'm watching it tonight. I'm not going to see.
Would it help if I told you that DJ and Stephanie are hot?
No.
Because I have the fucking internet.
Yeah. Like if they were like, if it was like a hairbrush incident.
Yeah, I hang out.
That'd be something outrageous.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
I actually.
They were combing.
I don't know if
they were like combing each other's hair.
But I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah, the hairbrush fell down. And
I mean, there was an episode. Gora, where,
you know what I'm talking about.
There was an episode where a cow ended up in the kitchen. So. and. There's an episode with Hunter Pence. There's an episode that deals with Mexican lucha wrestling. So, right, oh God, we're killing
him.
You're
gonna kill him.
He's dying.
That's wow! Like you just blew my mind. That's fucking next level shit, folks. Go watch Fuller House. Turn this episode off and go watch Fuller House.
Go watch Fuller House. Season 2 is already being prepared.
You killed Dynamo.
I'm just waiting for Netflix to bring back Homeboys from Outer Space.
There you go.
There's a horse in the hospital.
Fucking that Desmond Pfeiffer show from UPN.
All right. We also have the chain smoking, hand kissing, baby shaking, lorazepam loving, comic book reading nerd. Actually, you don't read comic books anymore. I'm taking that out.
I've read comics.
You've read.
Back issues.
Former comic book reading nerd. Ooh. And the official smoke machine for Castle Wolfenstein. Michael Raven Shadow.
That's right, Johnny. Give me food, give me fries, give me salad on the side.
That's it. I give up.
Do you ever see that meme? That fucking funny as hell.
Yeah.
James Hetfield.
It's funny. You're not. Up. Shut up.
Yeah, so Full House. That's hot.
It is hot. I love Full House.
So DJ Tan is running amok. That's weird.
Oh, you bitch.
Oh, bitch. Fucking meme, eh? Fucking easy, Goro. Coming to Ohio.
You have to be able to point to it in a map.
I don't know where Ohio is.
Michael
Dude,
Raven
I drew,
Shadow.
I drew you a map at one point.
Yeah.
Man.
Text me.
Text me.
Michael Raven Shadow, show me on the globe where geography touches.
All right. In the chat room, let me catch up before we head to a break. We have Chris McGibbon says, pump up the volume. He mentioned it. I was shocked, frankly. Oh, because you watched the movie. That's why he was shocked.
I watched that movie.
Rocky says, I'm going to defend Raven Shadow. I often go to the movies so high, I think I'm at the dentist waiting room on gas.
Thank you, Rocky. We should go see a movie.
You're going to go up to Toronto?
Is that where he's from?
No. That's where he lives, not where he's from.
Well,
people don't live where they're always from. Not like you.
That's fucking weird. No, that's... blow my mind. I'll go there. We'll see Niagara Falls. We'll recreate that scene in Superman 2. But you can catch me.
Melissa says, haha, Goro thought the same about Full Moon. Some of their older stuff is good, but newer stuff, crapola.
I think I may be one of the few horror fans out there that doesn't have the nostalgic feels for Full Moon.
Yeah. Melissa says, love you too, XO Mars.
Thank you.
Positive vibes.
I only like Puppet Master in Rondu!
Rondu Vladislav! And Jakey Poo is hanging out. What's up,
hey,
Jakey Poo?
Yeah, buddy.
And he says, just want to say tonight's Lucha Underground was out of control.
Nice.
God damn it.
A vignette featuring PJ Black, Jack Evans, a dragon man, and a time-traveling alien luchador engage in a nunchuck fight in a dirty wrestling gym restroom. Oh, and the one dude had space nunchucks.
Space nunchucks. Space chucks.
Damn it.
He just spoiled it for you, Algora. You don't have to watch it now.
No. It's all good. It's all good.
It's tough to watch WWE now, like other than pay-per-views, because like on my DVR is Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and that New Japan highlight show there.
Yep. Mm.
Like, it's just fucking, there's like, and then I turn on fucking The Ryback.
The Ryback?
Yeah.
Well, you do what I do. You don't actually watch it live. You find out what the good segments are. Then you go on Hulu and hope they have it in that little 90-minute cut. And then you just kind of jump around. Man. Like last episode, the only part of it I watched was a little bit from Dean Ambrose and when Sami Zayn ran in on Kevin Owens.
Nice.
And I was content.
Nice. That sounds fair. Bobby Chains, from listening to his show, that dude loves the Ryback.
Mars, Melissa says, since this may be last episode, Mars, can you please stay in frame?
That's an interesting idea. No.
And Jakey Poo says, Raven Shadow's my hero.
You're welcome, brother.
He called you by name. He didn't call you the other one.
Sure. The other one.
I love Jakey Poo. He's my dude. He's my boo.
He's the other one.
No, I know what? He's a fine man. Very talented. I love Jakey Poo.
And Rocky says, fuck yeah, son. I got some serious Chiba, and I'll hold you ever so gently under the mist.
Word to snurb. You should watch the mist.
While you smoke some Chiba?
That'd be a fun movie.
Yeah, that's a fun movie.
Yeah, we'll start
in
the daytime.
Yeah, it's a lighthearted, fun movie.
The place where Raven Shadow's actually from looks like the mist.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, before you shoot your kid, just see if the cavalry comes. Spoiler alert.
Jesus.
The book is different.
And Melissa says, subspecies love.
Yeah, subspecies
love.
Radu.
Dulan's Revenge. I find it fucking amazing, though, that Charles Band's strange little thing obsession, he could somehow shoehorn small claymation creatures.
Yo, right? Jack Death, a motherfucker, trances.
Doll man, trancers,
Rover jerks.
Rover jerks.
Fucking Puppet Masters, my joint, but
Shrunken Heads.
Heads, which has
Richard Elfman.
No One Lives Forever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to head to a commercial.
Demonic Toys.
There you go. How about fucking Jack Death versus Demonic Toys? Remember that?
Fuck yeah.
That's my joint. Knock fucking trauma out the box.
We need to head to commercial break. Before we do that, though, you guys should check out the other shows on the network. We have Unchained on Monday. Tuesday, we have the Television Crossover Universe. Ooh. Wednesdays, we have the Elm Street Kids Movie Club with Dynamo Mars and Stephanie Wiley. Ooh. And others. And on Wednesday night, if you're watching live, you know this already. Trick or Treat Radio is live. Just go to live.trickortreatradio.com and you can come hang out with us on Wednesday night from 9 p.m.-ish till whenever we end. And then Fridays, we take that audio and we drop it on iTunes and Stitcher for your ear holes.
Oh, a frozen rope in your ear hole.
Jesus Christ. God. Everyone has turned the show off at this point now. Thank you.
Sorry. The role playing gang, pick up. pick up all your role plays in the back.
All right.
D20, he wins. Don't worry about it.
And there's a bunch of ways you can get in touch with us if you want to. You can go to trickortreatradio.com. It has links for everything. If you want to send us a voicemail or an email, podcast@trickortreatradio.com. Twitter @TheDeadites. Instagram @TheDeadites. And that pretty much covers it right there. And then on Facebook, we also have the Facebook group. So, Raven Shadow, when you listen to the episode, you're all done listening to it. Oh, the show's over. What?
I'm confused.
The conversation just begins.
Well, you stepped over my shit. I was going to do I was doing an act. I was confused
shaking his head
about what to do. And then I was going to say, you know what? I have an idea, and I would go on to the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook page, because when the conversation ends, the discussion just begins. But you fucked up my shit, and you embarrassed me in front of Goro. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And it's probably Dynamo's last show, so fuck. Thank you. It's a legacy building.
Yeah, that's
I'm like Jackson.
It's like the best day of your life, though.
Yeah, well. I can just say Bombaleo. You do the heavy lifting, so yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, Raven Shadow. I love you, dude. I love you. But even if I die, you're not sitting in my fucking chair.
Mine's got wheels.
And then we have a couple ways that you can support the show. Go to trickortreatradio.com and click on the link for our little Amazon picture. Everything you buy in that session gets attributed to us. Mars has been keeping us alive on there, buying lots of Blu-rays.
My special lady friend has.
Oh, a special lady friend. Well, thanks to her. And a few other people definitely use it. But if you do shop on Amazon, go ahead and click our link and use it, and we'll get a little cut. It doesn't cost them any extra, Raven Shadow.
But it helps keep the lights on.
That's right. And you can also, if you want to, just give us money like people tend to do. We have a donate button on the front page of trickortreatradio.com right through PayPal. And we're also hopefully going to have some news in the next few weeks about some other ways you can support the show. So hopefully we'll have some information on that soon. But now, and we also, one more time, we actually haven't mentioned them in a while, our friends over at XSplit, they provide the awesome streaming service. So if you guys like what you see on the live streaming show on Wednesday nights, and you want to do your own thing, go check out XSplit, because they are, as the kids say, the bomb.
Hey, I meant to mention this real quick before.
The kids still say that?
The kids still say that.
Okay, good. What were you going to say?
Not to peel back the curtain, but I know a lot of listeners are awesome and are connected to us in real life. But, you know, my special lady friend is probably more nervous than... not more nervous than Tiny White. That guy's losing his shit. But she's pretty nervous. So, you know, reach out to her and say hello if you are connected to her on any social. I could tell she's nervous because I was listening to Me First and the Gimme Gimme's version of Hello the other day. And I asked my young assistant who sings that. And my special lady friend busted in and said, "I know." And I looked at her quick and her answer was, I said, "Who?" And she said, "The Blind." And I said, "The Blind," and then she started to cry. So I know she's nervous. She's nonsensical and nervous. So give her a high five. Not right. You, Raven Shadow.
Why?
All right. We'll give special lady friends high fives.
Because she's the only reason I'm here, you know? So literally, like, I have no way to get here most of the
time. All right. Let's segue into the break. Raven Shadow.
Yes.
You sit down to watch Killer Be Killed.
Thank you.
What do you do to prepare?
You know what? I was good fucking question, Johnny.
I know it is.
I was thinking
That's
about.
Why I asked it.
I was thinking about learning some ventriloquism. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
No, you know, stick up my hand up a puppet's ass.
All right.
Didn't do that. I kind of wanted to go back in time and get a Wild West beach. Because I've never seen that in a Western before. But I knew if it happened, you motherfuckers would show up and ruin it like in the film. So I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I definitely wouldn't have a movie set where I would allow demonic incantations to run amok. I wouldn't do that. So what I did do was do a double feature cram jam. What did I say? A cram jam of both films. And
double feature cram Jean Grey?
Yeah. Ooh, I fucking did that. Fucking tapped into the fucking Phoenix Force. Had some golden pie taste. Some beers. Strapped on.
Do you love a scary story? Do you love to dance? The Big Scary Monster House is a collection of dark songs about sex.
Trick-or-Treat Radio is the greatest podcast ever invented. The spelling is very bad. I'm not sure who wrote this.
Sorry.
And the Deedites. Is that a company that procures houses? The Deedites. Oh, it's the Deedites. The Deedites are a fantastic musical act. That is what I was supposed to say. And there you go. There it is. Cheeseburger. Remember to rent the fly. Because that's a good movie for making love to.
Jeff Goldblum, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully
we can get you
on the show again sometime soon.
My name's Jason Voorhees from Camp Crystal Lake. And since I only ever kill people that had sex, all those little virgins on the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group have nothing to fear from me. They're too busy talking about horror movies, comics, video games, RPGs, and all the disgusting, dumb, nerdy stuff that those boys on the Trick or Treat Radio podcast talk about. They'll never have any time to meet a girl, and if they do meet a girl, she'll just be as dorky as them. That's right, the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook page has tons of girls on it. Well, 4 or 5, get 3... A few girls, all right? Now get off my back. They only gave me $50 to do this promo. So go to Facebook, search for Trick or Treat Radio, join the group, and stop talking nerd. When the show ends, the discussion just begins. Copyright. Fuck you, Michael Raven Shadow.
Back on Trick or Treat Radio. This music seems to go pretty nicely. The movie you were about to review.
It's a composition called Guns, Gold, and Time.
Dig it, man.
Which will be on the probably never coming out 20th Century Masters EP. That's going to CD. That thing's going to sit
Bastards.
On my... Bastards, right. Yeah, sorry. That thing's going to sit on my my hard drive forever.
I'm getting really strong vibes of Northeast Ohio's own Midnight Syndicate from that.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't know they were from there. I love those guys.
Those guys live about 45 minutes away from me.
Have you ever asked them just to come over and play the Dungeons & Dragons?
I have not. But they are super, super nice guys.
Nice.
All right, so we're going to jump into our first film review. We're going to talk about the flick Kill or Be Killed. And let me just pull up the stats here on IMDb. And it's, I was thinking about who to have on as a guest, and I know that El Goro, you pretty much covered a ton of Westerns in, was it January or February?
It was January. I think it was like right on the cusp between December and January, but we dedicated pretty much the beginning of the year to Western films.
Ooh.
So I figured it was only appropriate we're going to do a Western, that it would be very awesome to have El Goro on. And he could give us some perspective, especially because he's watched a lot of them recently. So,
thanks, man.
And I know Dynamo is a big fan of Westerns.
Yeah, I am.
We've gone over this when we talked about Bone Tomahawk. MZ's favorite Western is Back to the Future 3.
Back to the Future 3 and Cannibal the Musical.
Have I ever asked you that?
Can break right through a wall.
Have I ever asked you what your favorite Westerns were, Goro?
I don't think you have.
What are your favorite Westerns, Goro?
Number one would probably be Once Upon a Time in the West.
That's a good one.
And then close behind that would be Tombstone.
Nice.
Then it kind of probably Unforgiven after that.
Nice. Mine are always going to be Magnificent Seven and Wild Bunch.
Magnificent Seven and those and Wild Bunch are very, very close on those.
Yeah.
I love Magnificent Seven.
I feel like those two films are, like, for me, two iterations on the same theme done about as different as you possibly can.
Oh, yeah, man.
All right, so let's go down. Let's run down the stats of Kill or Be Killed. It is unrated, 1 hour 43 minutes, and it's a horror mystery thriller. I don't know why it doesn't say Western on that.
Yeah.
And it is written and directed by Dwayne Graves and Justin Meeks, and it stars Justin Meeks, Paul McCarthy Boyington, Gregory Kelly, Dion Lucas, Bridger Zadina, Larry Grant Harbin, and Ariane Martin. The synopsis here is, in the autumn of 1900, outlaw Claude Barbie puts his retirement plan in action, attempting to lead his train robbing gang across Texas to recover a cash stash hidden after a botched railroad heist. So let's jump on into this flick. Now, this is coming on the heels of last horror western we reviewed, which is Bone Tomahawk, which I would say was on the exceptional end of the spectrum for most of us.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who wants to kick it off? What did you guys think of Kill or Be Killed? It's kind of hard to compare it to Bone Tomahawk, and I don't want to have too many comparisons.
Well, I have to say that if I hadn't seen Bone Tomahawk so recently, I probably would have liked this better. Because when you look at Bone Tomahawk and you look at what they were able to accomplish with that film using a very, very low budget,
right,
by, you know, regular Hollywood standards, and just what they were able to do with a small cast and a really focused script, and then you watch Kill or Be Killed, which is operating under pretty much the same kind of philosophy, and it just kind of comes up short, man. And it shows you that really how much of a talent went behind Bone Tomahawk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree, and I guess there's no point in kind of, you know, dilly-dallying around it. I liked a lot of what this film did, and I don't know what the budget was. I'm sure it was pretty small. I think the score was on point. Like, I really liked the score. Mm-hmm. I think it, for the most part, it was nicely photographed, mm-hmm. and I felt it was pretty authentic. Not as authentic as Bone Tomahawk was, but this had, you know, the dialogue I thought was pretty spot on. Locations for the most part were pretty good.
Yep.
And the costumes were spot on.
Sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it had a lot of what a Western in this day and age should have. And I think that, and I think you're kind of right, El Goro, I don't want to compare it to the most recent horror Western that I saw, but it's hard not to because that's still pretty fresh in our brains, and because it's a flick that we all liked so much.
Let's not forget Hateful Eight either.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you almost can't compare it to Hateful Eight because,
I agree,
you know,
yeah,
it's a Tarantino movie. It's a prestige, right, film.
Sure.
But if you're going to look at what's happening on the more independent side of things, the comparison to Bone Tomahawk is going to be inevitable. And I feel bad for this film that it followed so closely on the heels of that because it kind of invites that comparison amongst the horror community. And I'm with Johnny. This movie had a lot of really great intentions. I mean, they, especially in the dialogue, they were really scripting this with an ear towards authentic Western patois. The only problem is that the guys they had delivering it, they didn't really seem comfortable with the language. I mean, it's almost like what you have with a amateur production of a Shakespeare play,
right,
where,
right,
they're saying the words, but they're not putting the proper inflection to make it sound like this is their natural way of speaking.
Yeah,
like,
it sounded real thou doused up in his motherfucker.
Yeah, it's yeah, I felt the same way. I thought that the dialogue felt very tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. That they used way, I feel that they used way too much. I guess you could say Western jargon.
Didn't you do Shakespeare at one point?
No, I've never done. No, I've never done Shakespeare.
Alas, poor yogurt.
Poor yogurt.
I knew him fellatio.
No,
I mean, I think Justin Meeks in his role as Sweet Tooth Barbie, I think he had a good feel for it. And I think it was Paul McCarthy Boyington. Was it Slapjack who was the guy that just was constantly getting fucked over throughout most of the movie?
I do feel like as you went away, like if those two were the leads, I guess, mm-hmm. as you went through the gang away from them, I feel like they were, you know, it was a law of diminishing returns, I guess.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a real, I thought the cast looked really good in this.
They looked good.
They did. I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
There was a certain aesthetic to their facial features that made it look like, you know what? I believe that these guys are, you know, cowboys and westerns. And,
a little
and
clean.
All this other stuff. Perhaps a little clean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, a movie can't think of everything, but I agree. Their clothes were sure as hell dirty enough, though. But I agree with you guys that they had a good story. It was there was just something about it that just wasn't strung together properly. Like, there was a lot of jagged edges in the creation of this movie that just didn't tie itself well together.
Tell me if this. I had one thing that went through my head of. Now I'm going to put out there. I did enjoy this movie. Mm-hmm. I did like it. I wonder. I couldn't help. I haven't watched Slow West yet, which I think was an El Goro recommendation.
Yeah, that is a recommendation for me.
And I haven't seen that. Is it Jane Get Your Gun?
No, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. And, you know, obviously, I'm Ty West has a movie coming out soon, too. So, like, I wonder where it will fall, like, when I've seen a bunch of, you know, what I'm hoping are going to be really, really great Westerns. But for me, I did like this, and I did like I did enjoy it. My initial thought was that it wasn't punching its own weight budget-wise, but then I thought of Bone Tomahawk, you know, which is an obvious comparison. And I think that the script was really good, but I think there was, tell me if this term makes sense to you guys or rings true. I think for the budget versus the script, there were too many moving parts.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. I mean, as you're watching this movie, and I'm grateful that this was a movie that I had to watch with an eye towards discussing it, because just based upon, I would say, the first 45 minutes to an hour of it, it would have been enough to kind of make me tap out. I mean, the plot was a little meandering. They were going through all these little side vignettes, and it just felt very unfocused.
Yes.
But then on the back half of the film, it really came together. And if it wasn't for that turn and the events that occurred into there, and including a dramatic stylistic shift in the way that they were even presenting the film, I mean, it just felt like the back end was the movie they wanted to make, and then they took all of this meandering path to get there. Now, if it was more focused from the jump, it may have been a more entertaining film, but as it stands, the back end still really holds up. But I have a feeling that if I wasn't watching this with an eye towards discussing it, I may have tapped out early before I would even get to the good stuff.
Yeah, this was easily a case of too little, too late.
Yeah, and I think so. You put it very succinctly, El Goro, and it was kind of what I was thinking is, you know, early on when you first start a film, you're taking everything in. You're not being too judgmental. You're giving it, you know, a little bit of a short leash, you know. Sure. And that's when I was able to kind of appreciate what was going on. Thought it was nicely photographed. That's when I was talking about, you know, like I like the music. I was into it. And I think that it did a really nice job of, you know, making a Western. Like, I think they definitely did their research. And it felt like a Western to me. Now, granted, I'm not as much of a fan of Westerns as some of the other people here are, but it felt like a genuine Western to me. And I felt like I was in that time. And I think, you know, that's certainly not an easy thing to do, and they definitely achieved that. But I would agree that about 20 minutes in, it started to meander a little too much. And that's when they kind of were losing me. And the luster of all that cool stuff of the Western aspect kind of wears off, and you're like, okay, this movie isn't grabbing me too much. And then about halfway through, maybe two-thirds through, it does kind of start to come together a little bit. But I would have liked to have seen a more cohesive storyline throughout, or more strung together a little bit better, I think would have helped a lot better.
Yeah, and there was also certain stylistic choices that I don't know if it was just a function of the way they chose to edit it, or maybe they were kind of cutting around some things, maybe trying to tighten it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But just some of the way that some of the scenes were constructed in the early going, the editing and what they chose to show and what they chose to put into frame just seemed jarring to me. I mean, you would have somebody having a long dialogue piece, and then they would cut to somebody ostensibly to get a reaction shot, but they weren't giving an actual reaction to anything somebody was saying. It almost felt like they felt the need to put these little inserts in order to kind of quicken the pace of it, but it just came off as jarring to me. And then there were other times where somebody was talking, but they were just out of frame, so the camera really wasn't sort of capturing them. You combine that with a lot of these handheld shots that they were doing, and it didn't feel to me like a Western. You know, one of the things I love about old Western films, as well as this sort of Western revival where people are stylistically trying to capture the Western film, is that the way they set up the camera, the way they frame the shot, the way they'll allow the camera to linger. And these were attributes of old Westerns, and this movie didn't really seem to be stylistically going for that. It felt much more like any other low-budget shot-on-digital movie that I've seen.
Yeah, I guess I would definitely agree with that. One of the things, let me just read real quick. Melissa in the chat room says, I don't think Bone Tomahawk should have anything to do with you liking this. Yeah, they are both Westerns. One was a bigger budget with bigger actors. And two...
I don't know that it was
too much of a bigger budget. Yeah.
No, I mean, that was a pretty low budget film.
That was very low budget. Now...
I'll look it up and see. Let me just finish what Melissa says. Yeah. And two completely different storylines. One about cannibals with shocking gore. The other kind of funny with a mystery. Yes, Bone Tomahawk was better, but if I had seen it before, would not have changed my feelings for this. And then she says, bad acting, but cute story with a twist. Storyline not perfect, but entertaining.
Yeah. It looks like Bone Tomahawk was working with a $1.8 million budget, which in Hollywood terms is microscopic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was still more than what Killer Be Killed was working with. And again, I recognize how unfair that is to compare these two, because chances are, you know, this movie was made completely ignorant of Bone Tomahawk.
Right.
This obviously, it's coming on too close for it to be any sort of inspiration. I think it's just for me, because I can see what people are doing with the Western genre on these lower budgets, and what other people are working with, they don't seem to really be capturing what I love about these. And I got real mad on for these kind of low budget new Westerns that are coming out.
I agree.
There's been 100%. So much solid ones.
I want someday someone on the cult, it might have been me actually, that's how out of my head I am, recently asked the Cult of Muscle guys what's like a subgenre they wish they would be more of. And like, I am all in the corner for this like low budget Western, because we never really got it on the American end before.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely have, you know, obviously the spaghetti Westerns, which were done for a meager budget, but correct me if I'm missing something, guys, but I feel all the way from Jump, all the way up to like masterpieces like Unforgiven and Tombstone, like, these have always been bigger Hollywood productions. Like, even when you look at Raimi's Quick of the Dead, which a lot of people dislike, but I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, there were plenty of Poverty Row Westerns that came out when the genre was big, but they just didn't seem to have the big staying power as the classics, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that attrition of time, that how many films get forgotten just because they didn't make an impact one way or the other.
I mean, I know there's Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
Oh, good fuck.
But, you know, I can't really, like... I think that unlike, say, the spaghetti Westerns, which even the poor ones have had an impact on cinema, my point is that the American end of things, the only ones that are generally talked about are ones that lean more towards the Hollywood epic, I guess.
Yeah, those ones definitely get brought up in the conversation a lot more. I couldn't think that Rio Bravo couldn't have had much of a budget, could it? I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
I mean, it's so hard, because you even look at things like, if I was going to make a movie, you know, on a cheap budget, and I guess that's what Bone Tomahawk did, right? But, like, I mean, how much of the searches do I have to take out before I'm making that movie for free?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely some bigger set pieces and, you know, some cast, but, like, you know, like... even the bigger ones of that day, even the John Ford ones, like, definitely has a lot of dudes hoofing it out in the desert.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think lends itself towards this style of low-budget filmmaking, that as long as you have a good cast and a strong authorial voice in the case of the director, you can make a pretty awesome Western on the cheap. But I think one of the things you got to kind of do is, if you're going to be approaching this, you have to sort of look to the stylistic cues that made the Western work.
Right.
And I think that they were attempting it in Kill or Be Killed, and in certain sequences, I think they actually accomplished it. But as a whole, I think they missed the mark a bit.
I mean, I think that, and again, I don't think anybody, I wouldn't say, Melissa said bad acting, and I think that that's not necessarily...
I think it was uneven.
Uneven, I agree.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that came from...
I'm going to throw that out there.
I think a lot of that came from, you know, and most of us here have been on one to some degree. Like, they probably didn't get any rehearsal, and they certainly probably didn't get, you know, like, there was probably a lot of cases where maybe you could have said this line better if you had three more tries, but we were running out of sun or running out of night, right, or, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I'm sure that this was a lot of this was run and gun, and that's sort of what happens on, you know, low budget. That's why, you know, I think we see a lot of films in 2016 that like kind of straddle that like mumblecore aesthetic, because I feel like that sort of naturalistic dialogue lends itself to, you know, you know, as long as the point comes through, it's a take.
Right. You know? I think one of the things in just kind of thinking back about this, I think the setting was I think that was probably their best achievement was the setting, because this felt gritty like an old Western to me.
Yes.
And, you know, it was kind of like a little bit more gritty than a lot of others that I've seen. And I did appreciate that. And these were bad dudes, you know, the Barbie gang, they were fucking bad dudes. And that's one thing that
the fucking kid.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's
yeah,
a lot of...
the kid was awesome.
Yeah, the kid was awesome. I totally agree.
With the blades.
But there was a lot of things where I felt like whether it was, like, they changed their mind or whatever else, but, like, am I the only one that thought, like, at one point we were going to get some, like, creepy doll action? Like, you know, right? Like, like
that was set up for something else.
Yeah, I'm glad that this movie went in the direction that it went, but, like, how many horror films... Monster Zero, do you see a fucking ventriloquist dummy in that doesn't have any payoff?
I pick magic. Yeah.
Right.
I was just gonna give an example of Twilight Zone the movie, but all right.
Isn't that fucking ventriloquist doll evil?
No.
Chucky.
The one in Nightmare at 20,000 feet.
I'm not remembering them being one in there.
No smoking. N-O-S-M-O-K-I-N.
Is this the first Western blowjob?
On camera? Jesus Christ on the cross.
That's all you care about, man?
Well, if I was on the receiving end.
The receiving end?
Yes.
That dude, how old was that dude? Like 14, 15?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but in the West, he was...
Paranormal Activity.
In the West, he won, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Jesus.
That's what I say. My first exposure to Western.
My first blowjob. I'll let you guys know when it happens.
This guy outside the library is weird.
You said library.
Isn't
you fucking learned from him.
Well, it's fucking osmosis. From me.
This is one time where he could really say, I learned it from you, Dad.
I learned it by watching you.
But no, but like for me, like in the New England area, once the cartoons ended on Saturday mornings on Channel 38. Yeah, it was fun. Went down to the bike shop.
You went and played.
It was fun. It was the 80s. Dudley was there in the back.
When are we going to get that nostalgia?
We watched Lord of Atlantis.
Yeah. That weird Maytag repairman.
Can you imagine how fast bike sales dropped after that episode showed?
That's
probably faster than Dudley's pants.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, hey, calm down over there.
My God.
Jeez.
It's pretty funny, but I don't know.
God damn.
You can't say that.
Well, he just said it, dude.
Doesn't his dad look kind of like Danny Glover, didn't he?
I can't drink before these shows.
That was weird.
You can't say that.
Yeah, there was just...
I'm done.
As far as the structure of the story, I mean, it has a good story.
It's a discussion.
There's a decent story involved, but it just veers off into too many different avenues.
Too many moving parts.
Too many moving parts, and it doesn't really get back to its core.
Different time.
Well, I'm just
there's a lot
I'm
of
reiterating.
X factors and variables.
It just doesn't get back to its core.
Things in molecular structures.
You shut up.
No, Dudley with the pants was good.
It doesn't get back to its core story, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, I personally didn't think the performances were all that great either.
Dirty Mr. Carlson.
I did like, you know, like Johnny said, you know, the score. I think the score was really good in this. I think the score was the highlight, if anything. The setting was good. The photography was fine.
Mm-hmm. We've all said this.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I'm
reiterating. Off a checklist of things.
They had guns.
I'm reiterating.
They had hats.
There were horses.
You're reiterating.
I'm reiterating.
Yeah, you know, and they had mountains.
I'm with you on the cast, man. I mean, because you, and it seemed wildly uneven. Like I said, Justin Meeks and McCarthy Boyington, they inhabited Boyington. Their roles. They were great presences on there.
Yeah.
And then you had the big guy, Gregory Kelly, who was called upon to deliver, you know, these Bible verses, and it just sounded so awkward Bane. Coming out of him. I don't know if they ADR'd him.
Is that who that is?
Post, or if everything he said just didn't seem like it was coming from him.
No, I agree. And that character could have been an iconic character, I think.
He has a great look to him.
Yeah,
he does have an awesome look to him.
You know, he's essentially, and you could do this type of ripping off when you cross mediums in genres, but he was essentially Bane, right? Like the way they played Bane after he was supposedly.
Whatever do you mean?
Trying to go.
Or do you expect me to die, Mr. Bond?
Not that Bane.
overseas for no particular reason.
Yeah, like so. All I kept thinking of is if that guy, like every once in a while he'd hit the nail on the head, and I all I could think of is if he did that every time, you'd not only have a better film here, but you would have an iconic character, you know?
Exactly.
I hate to say, you know, like, again, I really enjoyed this while the company I work for was paying me to watch it today in my office. But, like, you know, like, I hate to say a better film, but, like, you know, I guess it's what our job is.
The job we don't get paid for.
Do you guys feel... Here's a question for you. I don't know. I didn't look up this guy's discography, but this is an interesting thing. Quick little sidebar. I'm always like, I read online somewhere somebody was saying that this was obviously influenced by like things like Tarantino and stuff like that. And I think they're kind of channeling the logo coming and stuff like that. And I instantly get mad because for years people have been saying like, on both music and as a writer, like people are like, oh, you must like Kevin Smith, you must like Quentin Tarantino. You know, and nobody believes me when I say, no, I like Peter David and Keith Giffen and the Marx Brothers. Like, so, you know, I automatically go on the defensive for somebody. But much like when we reviewed that Bounty Killer movie where they were obviously, you know, channeling Robert Rodriguez, do you guys feel like this was, you know, influenced by Tarantino, like the music and the freeze frames, obviously, right? Like...
See, I wasn't getting too much of a Tarantino vibe. Off
I didn't either.
I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
I didn't see. I didn't
you don't
see,
think with the freeze
frame?
I think
with the free, as far as the freeze frame goes, I think maybe if it was an attempt to channel Tarantino, it was a very, very slight attempt.
Now I could
very
find
thin,
things like
thinly veiled attempt.
Shit! What was the movie that El Goro and the Elm Street Kids reviewed kind of back to back?
Well, I was going to... I don't know if this is what you're thinking of, but... So when you guys... I never saw it, but you guys reviewed Cutthroat's Nine.
Right,
thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, because you... I remember you guys mentioning the freeze frames and
right.
stuff like
well,
that.
Well, here's where, like, and there's, you know, and there's a couple of Italian directors that I can think of that do that, but here's my take on that, okay? And see if you're with me. When you do that and then have the logo the way you have it with a kind of bargain basement RZA sort of beat... Right? I feel like that's obviously Tarantino, right? You know what I mean? Like one of those things alone, you could avoid the fact that they're both two things that are influenced Tarantino. Like when you look at like Inglourious Bastards and stuff like that.
See, to me, what this feels like is that they're drawing upon similar inspiration from Tarantino, but not necessarily
See, that's
him.
What I want to think of, but that intro and the few, I'll call them Tarantino... isms that have popped up in like recent years, I would say from Inglourious Bastards back, and especially, you know, he did two westerns back to back, obviously, makes me think if you have that one thing, like that intro, because I couldn't think of another type of filmmaker that does, you know, other than like a cheesy sex comedy or something like that. Like, ooh. I can't think of another type of like those, that title card.
Well, you see, when in these opening credits that we're talking about, I mean, to me, I'm not seeing too many, maybe the title card, but just the way that the opening credits played out, it felt more like a made-for-TV movie.
That I agree with, 100%.
But it didn't feel like they were taking... I was actually hoping that they were thinking that, man, why couldn't they do this more like a Tarantino, who are somebody who takes more risks and more stylistic choices
right.
well, with their opening credits? Because there is nothing more, I don't know, just stuck than random landscapes.
Well, here's what's funny about it.
Great Western setting, but just all of these, all with credits over on top of them. I mean, it felt very safe. It felt very filmy.
Well, you know what else it felt like? When you take that, and I didn't think of this till right now, but when you take that kind of like tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, the somebody shooting out the title card thing,
yeah.
and then show like a montage of things around, it reminded me more of like, you know, an 80s sex comedy intro than like a Western, you know, like
it, screwballs.
Replace the fucking snakes for people having chicken fights and, you know,
Ooh.
Driving around on the boardwalk, the snakes and sand, and you have hard bodies instead of like a Western intro, you know, like it's a very strange choice, like for the way it's, to be set up.
What about Malvert? Was he around there?
Malvert's at the end.
I don't know. It seems like the movie seems to be more symbolic of trying to be Tarantino-like rather than trying to be Tarantino.
I don't know what that means. Normally, I'm with you 100%, even though you're not speaking the same language as everybody else. But
what I mean by that is that I think that they have in their own mind what their vision of a Tarantino film is. They have their own vision of what a Tarantino film is, and they translate it over to film, and it just didn't work out the way they wanted their audience to see it. They might see it that way, but we don't. But we don't. You know, so I think maybe it's symbol. That's because you like the film. That works for you. That's great.
Oh, so you're saying that you're not seeing it because your opinion of the film has more. No, we lost 10 minutes on me trying to translate. Who's next last week? Who's next, Johnny?
I just think that the film is symbolic of trying to make a Tarantino-like film.
I had to take notes, but also I feel
it comes up short.
Last week, and as I'm listening to myself like try to translate Monster's Ear, I'm like, what am I fucking doing?
Well, I'm not seeing them trying to ape Tarantino. It feels like they're trying to reach back to the old
stuff
Western
that's influential, and that's what I want. So
supposedly, I'm not familiar with the filmmakers, and maybe some of you guys are, but apparently this is kind of what they do. They do pseudo grindhouse throwback type stuff. The films they did were The Wild Man of the Navidad, Butcher Boys. Which seems to get some pretty good praise. Have you guys seen any of those flicks?
No.
I vaguely heard of that one.
It's been on Netflix for like ever. It's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. I vaguely heard of Butcher Boys. In passing, I think I might have heard of it.
can you throw on more iteration of how you maybe sort of heard of Butcher Boys?
I'm aware that it may exist.
At one point, I may have possibly sort of kind of in my peripheral.
I cannot confirm perhaps. Nor deny, but it might be a thing that Butcher Boys, is it with a Z or Y? Butcher Boys.
Yours would have a Z, yeah. For sure.
The Butcher Beach Boys Men, what's that fucking thing?
Bagel Beach.
Butcher, I gotta go.
It's like you got like another hour and a half done.
I got cancer online too.
Pick up.
In the back.
As a matter of fact, I'm leafing through IMDb, and there's a lot of actors and actresses that
in
have,
this movie.
No,
shut up.
In
the Screen Actors
Guild. You want to get out of here at 12, don't you?
Hollywood's got a lot of actors. That's weird.
No, that worked with Tarantino.
SAG's got a lot of actors. That's weird.
That's nuts. How come they're all waiters too?
Fuck all of you.
There's a lot of stars in that Walk of Fame. How long is that road?
Jesus cocksucking Christ.
Hollywood's a big place.
I'm not gonna mention them all, but just the S's. Shepard. Sybil. Stallone.
No, like Gregory Kelly. He worked with Tarantino. Tina Rodriguez, she worked with Tarantino. So, you know, I mean,
Robert Rodriguez.
There's a lot of actors in Hollywood that work with multiple directors.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
Travolta was weird. He was a sweat hog. Did you ever see Three Men and a Baby? No, no. Look Who's Talking. That was a weird movie. Goro, do they have that in Ohio?
Yes.
You got babies down there?
You got babies. You're on a fucking roll tonight. I'm not going to let you go to the bathroom anymore.
Welcome back, money. Your dreams are your ticket. No, make it 0.0.
I just did.
He's broken.
It's like this is like Tommy White stuff.
I'm just saying, Jesus.
Yes.
Ooh.
Well, now we know why Tina Rodriguez has worked with Tarantino before, because she's the sister of Robert Rodriguez.
Is she really?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Is she really?
Yes, she is.
That was an easy joke. I didn't go for it. That's no shit.
And I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people showed up in some of Tarantino's later films, because the fact that this was filmed in Texas, I wouldn't be surprised if these are a lot of local Texan actors. And, you know, he kind of had a mat on working around the Austin area, particularly around Grindhouse.
Well, I did notice that he had Edwin Neal in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, he had...
I got to say, Edwin Neal looks, if you look at his IMDb picture, he looks like Harrison Ford's less famous brother.
Frank Ford?
Frank Ford?
Is that like a shot at Frank Stallone?
He doesn't listen.
All the lesser known brothers are called Frank. Frank Schwarzenegger, you guys heard him?
Yeah, Patrick Swayze. No, he's a good one. Who's the bad one?
Frank Swayze.
Yeah, Frankie.
Bill Johnson and...
Well, how come nobody's mentioned fucking Michael Berryman?
I was just getting to that.
You see him in everything, man.
Yeah.
He's in Hollywood.
Berryman and
Mackie on Girls at a Bar once. Once you see that, a lot of the luster just goes off.
Could you keep this between us? I hate to lose my teaching job.
Even Andrew Sencenik from We Are Still Here. He's in this. So.
It's
true.
It's truth. You know who wasn't in this? Ooh. The kids from
that's his next list, John.
I was gonna say the Tro de Rope kids.
Yul Brynner wasn't in.
So I'll start with just people who work with Tarantino.
Bruce Willis,
Kurt Russell,
Sam Jackson,
Sam Jacks. Tim Roth, Michael Madsen. You gonna stop me?
Christian Slater was in a movie he wrote, didn't direct it.
MZ's broken.
Come on, no, you have a good point.
I'm just shutting up because obviously you guys are acting like a bunch of douchebags.
Listen to this.
Show me that Full House clip again. Yeah. We'll be friends again.
I can't believe that I just hurt the guy's feelings who told me to put something in my cock holster.
Yeah, I know. All right, in the chat room, Melissa's talking a little bit more about this flick and says...
I really meant to shit my pants.
Wait, Slaygoth's hanging out. He says,
"Oh, snip!"
He says, "Late, but I'm here." What's up, Slaygoth? What's up, buddy?
Oh my God.
Chris McGibbon says, in perspective, the original Night of the Demons was made for $1.5 million in 87. Wow. And that was considered low budget back then when you could get a lot more bang for your buck. Just saying.
Yeah.
Truth.
So, yeah. And Melissa says, I meant just bigger budget, obviously had to be with those big name actors and the filming when referring to Bone Tomahawk. And she also says, I like how they put the point across that the supposed bad guys weren't the only bad people, and someone unexpected turned out to be the most evil of all. I like that. Creative.
Oh. There's also a subtext of... not a subtext, but like a undercurrent that they didn't really fully realize, I think, of how Western legends are born.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody was telling tales, and most of them weren't even true. They were like really blowing up this very human person to mythical...
Right, right. Rocky says Bounty Killer. I don't know that that's a Western, but he says More Merry Death Please. Oops, my hand went
that's up. That's the one I was talking about that we reviewed. He's right.
Oh, okay. Bounty Killer, yeah. He says oops, my hand just went on autopilot for a moment.
Nice. Oh. I'd cue Busta.
And Melissa says I'm starting to think of Mars like he's Wilson from Home Improvement, where we only get to see parts of him. Need to have a mini picket fence and have him peek over it. And Melissa says, holy crap, they did Butcher Boys? Butcher Boys was great party flick to make your friends think you're a weirdo, no slow parts, nonstop insanity. Can't believe they're the same people who made this.
We should watch that.
And Nick Knack says, Raven Shadow sucks cock.
Ban him.
Nope.
Club.
All right, so...
Look at all the K's in cock. Jesus.
Yeah, unfriend. Unfriend.
Unfriend.
Just try.
Anyone have anything else to say before we head to the verdict?
I'm going
to
poop my pants.
I feel like we're kind of meandering a little bit on the review, but I think we got a pretty good discussion. So let's head to the verdict.
Trick or treat, baby.
I wonder if people would say you're a trick or a treat.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
All right, verdict time. We're going to tell you whether this flick was a trick or a treat. And any final thoughts we may have, Mr. Mars.
Drinking two giant Sam Adams in four Dunkin' Donuts coffees in an hour, trick. This film is a treat. It's not. It's, I mean, it's not perfect by any stretch of imagination, but I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it.
All right, MZ.
It's a jagged story. It's not tied well together. It's got a great title, Killer Be Killed. It's got a great title. It's a great title for a Western, just not this Western trick.
All right.
I liked it better when it was with that really B martial arts.
Yeah, the 70s from South Africa or whatever. Raven Shadow.
I don't know.
I like that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Wait, did you see the movie?
I did. I did the Western BJ, the kid with the knife and the blade, the Christ and the wind and the white in the back.
All right,
the
all
cross,
right.
Lacrosse.
The guy.
Lacrosse? They didn't lacrosse. Play lacrosse.
They invented lacrosse in the West. They did that in the desert because they didn't have water.
I did like that scene. I felt like it was kind of Poverty Row. It was this Poverty Row Jodorowsky.
Yeah.
Like the scene with the really white sand.
Yeah.
In the obvious, you know.
I like the line about not smelling like yesterday's milk or something like that. Made me chuckle. Anybody, you guys watch this fucking movie?
Yeah, we talked about it for a good 45 minutes.
Well, you said words. I don't know what you said. Tepid treat.
All right. El Goro.
I'm going to come down with it's almost a treat and barely a trick. The thing is... This movie redeemed itself towards the end of the thing. Like I said, the last 30 minutes was actually really, really good. And it really felt at that point that the filmmakers were accomplishing what they set out to do. They're telling this really great, very, very atmospheric Western story. The only problem is you got to sit through about two-thirds of the movie to kind of get there. And so it's not. It wouldn't be a full-on treat, but it's only barely a trick for me.
All right, and I'm kind of with you and MZ. I'm kind of on the fence a little bit, but I think they did more good than bad. And I really do like the setting, and I think a lot of what they did is impressive. So, but I do think there is some missteps, and I wish that the story itself was a little bit more cohesive. But I think the payoff was good, and I think there's some pretty good stuff in here. And so I'm going to say that this is also a tepid treat. So it definitely is more on the side of the treat for me than it is for the trick. So if you like Westerns, I would definitely give this a shot. Once again, and I know Melissa brought this up. I kind of hate to relate it too much to Bone Tomahawk because I think they do both stand on their own. But if you have seen Bone Tomahawk, you know, within proximity of seeing this, it could ruin your enjoyment of it potentially because Bone Tomahawk is an outstanding flick, and this one is a pretty good flick. So there you go, Kill or Be Killed.
And one important thing to throw out there as well, and I should have mentioned it when we were discussing it, but don't go into this expecting it to be a horror film because it's only just barely a horror film. So if you go in expecting a full-on horror Western, you're probably setting yourself up for disappointment.
It's got horror film trappings.
Yeah.
But even those, in comparison to what everything else they were doing in the runtime, I mean, it's not as heavy as, say, like, again, we keep going back to Bone Tomahawk, but this one didn't feel as much like a horror Western. It just felt like a heavier, a little bit on the heavier end.
A heavy
Western
drama.
Kind of like the stuff that they did with Cutthroat Nine, but not as sleazy.
I will say this is a, and it didn't go through, but when you get to the punchline and the characters in it, this was a pretty good approximation of a Brian Keene Western. Because I've ever read any of his Western stuff. So
I'll tell you what, if you took this movie and edited it down to like an hour, it would have been an awesome Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could have been short.
Yeah, I could totally see that. So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap up our coverage of Kill or Be Killed. It's available on VOD, so recommend go checking it out. I think it's also on DVD and Blu-ray if you want to go seek that out. And next week, we are going to review a flick called Frankenstein. This is a modern-day retelling of the Frankenstein mythology.
I hope I don't miss this. I of all the fucking movies for me not to possibly be here for.
Which one is this? Is this with Frodo?
Nope, from 2015.
Frodo. Oh, I'm with you. Fuck, why am I so with you today?
It has Carrie Ann Moss, you know, from The Matrix.
Yes.
And Tony Todd.
That's who I wanted to be Wonder Woman.
And Danny Houston plays Victor Frankenstein.
Danny Houston.
Man, I love Frankenstein. Of all the fucking weeks for me, maybe not to be here.
Really? So what's the one with Frodo and...
The Nine Fingers
and Harry Potter.
Ring of Doom.
That's Victor Frankenstein.
Okay, is that made yet?
Frodo wasn't in that one, was it? That was fucking...
No, it's Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah.
And then,
Harry
Potter. How did I not know? No, they're not the same.
Is that the same
guy?
You
had a fist fight with me about
it. Is that the same guy?
It's Harry Potter and Professor X.
Okay, I knew it was one of them. It was somebody...
I knew it was one of them. With that, I'm going to the bathroom.
So he can go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Promote the show.
No. I got to go to the bathroom.
Sure. Gore can go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he can. You can't.
Sucks.
All right, so that's... Oh, he's going to the bathroom here.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Jesus.
You got the bottle.
I hope you didn't actually touch your ass to that trash can.
I wish it was a bottle, Goro.
God.
All right, so next week we're going to review Frankenstein from 2015. And we're going to take a break in just a moment here once I get one queued up. But Raven Shadow.
Yes.
So... You have two flicks to watch this week. Holy fuck, right?
Next week or this week?
No, this past week.
Yes.
Right now, tonight, we're reviewing two flicks.
Last night.
So you go ahead and you sit down to watch The Dead Hate the Living. How does that go?
Oh, man. After watching, you know, Kill or Be Killed, I had to get the old, you know, Clockwork Orange eye things to keep your eyes open.
Eye things.
Yeah, I put some of Ludwig von Beethoven on, ran amok. The wife was, you know, she went to bed early, yelled at me. It's okay. You know what? Here's the thing about sleeping on the couch, gang. It's kind of like camping.
Kind of like camping.
Yeah, guys like... Girl, you guys camp in Ohio, right?
Yes, we camp in Ohio.
Yeah, it's like
they do a lot of things in Ohio that they do here. You'd
be surprised. I don't know what you do in Grafton. but it's like a bed of air mattress. I make like the sheets, the tents, like you did as a kid over your grandma's house.
Yeah, okay.
So I did that. And then I sally forth and watched the new joint.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about The Dead Hate the Living.
One dark and stormy night in the mid-80s, Joe Bob Briggs, Harlan Ellison, and the ghost of El Santo pulled a train on Elvira while Siskel and Ebert sobbingly masturbated in the corner. From that union arose the greatest movie critic and luchador that ever lived. We're not going to talk about him. He's kind of a dick. Instead, we're going to talk about me, El Goro, the stuttering movie fan and host of the Talk Without Rhythm podcast. Every week on Talk Without Rhythm, I discuss 2 to 3 movies tangentially tied together by a theme. I cover action.
And the most complete fighter in the world.
Sci-fi.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Horror.
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
And the continuing adventures of James Spader, sexual deviant.
You're not worried that I'm going to fuck you, are you? I'm not interested in that, not in the least. Now pull up your skirt.
So check me out at tworpodcast.blogspot.com, drunkenzombie.com, or subscribe on iTunes. Talk Without Rhythm, the only podcast that will not attract the world. Adios.
This is Bobby Chains,
Uncle Polly,
and I'm the kid Tim Nice from the Unchained podcast.
And you're now listening to Trick or Treat Radio on the Grand Guignol Network.
Hello, darlings. It's your favorite whiskey-drinking, litigious, singing, dancing fantasy girl. Want to reach out to me and the world's greatest monster-hunting multimedia organization, the Deadites? Log on to Facebook/The Deadites. It's got all the info you need to follow the world's greatest monster-hunting band, like live appearances, info on your favorite Deadite, music, and all the links you need to our new weekly multimedia and all our side endeavors. Too many letters on Facebook? That's okay, sugar. Just follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Deadites. Hope to see you soon, and we'll leave the lights off.
Review another flick, MZ?
Ready as I'll ever be, man.
How about you, Al Goro?
Bring it on, sir.
All right, so we are going to talk about the flick, The Dead Hate the Living. Now, let me talk a little bit about Horror Pack. So Horror Pack is this new service. They've been around since October, so they're not that new. But basically what you do is you subscribe. They send you 4 flicks, whether it's DVDs or Blu-rays, your choice. Every month, they'll send you something new, and it's kind of like Christmas morning every month, and you never know what you're going to get. You may get some phenomenal movies, you may get some crap, but for the most part, it'll be some interesting stuff that's not, you know, something you can find on Netflix, I guess. Yeah. So it's a pretty cool service. We're actually working with them to hopefully get an affiliate program working. So if the service interests you, and you're not like chomping at the bit to sign up right away, I would wait. Hopefully by next week, we should have everything squared away so that if you sign up for Horror Pack, we get a cut. So go ahead and, you know, check it out. But if you're interested, you know, maybe wait, because we'll get a cut in for that shit. Hopefully by next week, it should be all squared away. So, but it's a good service. They're good folks over there, and they're really passionate about horror, which is awesome. So if you guys checked out the unboxing video, you would have seen the flicks that we got. If not, we'll run it down real quick. So on Unchained, they reviewed El Chupacabra, which was a film from, I think it was the mid-2000s, starring Tretch from Naughty by Nature. Ravechai, you excited about that?
I am. I fucking love him. was it Tretch or was it Treach?
Tretch is how you pronounce it.
I watched the boxing video and I was concerned.
And then also on the television crossover universe, they typically do not review flicks, but Ivan Shablotsky was kind enough to do a quick review of Dark Water, starring Jennifer Connelly, which is one of the other flicks that was included.
Not the Pirates of Dark Water, the animated series of the early 90s.
Nope.
Thank you, Goro.
I got you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
And there was a little scheduling faux pas. And since they record in advance, we weren't able to get the Elm Street Kids to review for this crossover event. But if we do another one, we'll be sure to get them on board. But the other flick we haven't mentioned is a flick called The Invisible, which was directed by David Goyer, Raven Shadow.
Can't see me.
You want to see? Check that out.
Is it there? Oh, yeah. Hey.
You know David Goyer, right?
He's my noogie. He did The Blade. Did some Batman Begins in the Nolan franchise, and did some comic stuff, yeah. Some JSA work with...
He came in and co-wrote Starman with...
thank you, James Robinson.
James Robinson.
Yes, yes.
One of my favorite series of all time.
Not just yours. You don't own it.
No. I own it.
You don't. I can borrow it.
Well, you own it, too.
They own it, too.
We all own it.
Let's fucking read it together.
All right, let's do that. You want to get some quesadillas?
Oh, that's not the old days.
You can get a steak quesadilla. I'll get a cheese quesadilla.
Oh.
It'll be fun.
What are you doing Saturday?
I'm recording fucking podcasts.
God damn it.
You can crash Unchained and we'll read it together.
I'm going to be crashing Unchained soon.
So the fourth flick that we got was The Dead Hate the Living, and that's the one we're going to review tonight. And this flick was released in 2000. Has anyone seen this flick prior to watching it for the show? Had you seen it, MZ?
No, I haven't.
How about you, Ogoro?
Nope, hadn't seen it.
All right.
Heard of it, but never got around to it.
Guess I'm not in the room.
Same here.
I know the fucking answer.
Well, the listeners don't.
Have you seen the movie before, Raven Shadow?
I've not seen this movie before. What,
really?
Imagine if he did, though.
That's surprising.
Imagine if he did.
The over and under as I see it now. You know, I did see the movie the first time.
No, you didn't.
It was better the first time I saw it when it was called Neon Maniacs. Oh, shit.
So, The Dead Hate the Living, this flick is rated R from 2000. It is 90 minutes long. It is a horror comedy written and directed by Dave Parker. And Dave Parker has gone on to do some bigger flicks. So this, obviously, this was kind of a cult classic on Full Moon. But he did do a segment on Tales of Halloween, which we reviewed. He also did the film The Hills Run Red, which I still have yet to see, but I know a lot of people speak very highly about that.
Yeah. I haven't seen it either. I for some reason the box art just bugs me because it's taken straight out of like The Hills Have Eyes remake.
Well, someone who speaks very highly of it is Jim Smith from Teal.
I like it.
I remember he was telling us about it. You do like it?
Don't go in there. Yeah.
The Raven Show was going to go to the bathroom, and Mars just shook his finger. Don't go in there.
No. This is the first deuce I've dropped in the studio, I think.
I don't believe that.
Well, to this cup, this is the first four Dunkin' Donut cups in an hour.
Jesus Christ.
Well, this is a testament to our new unification that he told me not to go in there.
Ravenshaw, use the woman's room.
There's a woman's room?
Yes. If there's a men's room, there's probably a woman's room.
I thought the showers were co-ed. We got fucking showers in the back. That's great.
So yeah, he's gone on to do some other stuff. And another film called Cold Water, which I have yet to see. But he definitely has done some bigger stuff. And so the film stars, let me go ahead and pull it up here, Eric Clausen, Jamie Donahue, Brett Beardsley, Wendy Speak, Benjamin Morris, Rick Irwin, Dave Douglas, Matt Stevens, and Kimberly Pullis. And also Matthew McGrory, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is his debut.
Debut role, yeah, absolutely.
Who, let me tell you, is one of the most amazing, genuine, awesome human beings I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really positive things about him. I never met him myself.
And
but
most importantly, Anthony C. Ferranti, who is the director of Sharknado films.
During
Patsy Rahal on the back. Just getting excited.
During the first kind of Dead Edge revival at the first couple Rockin' Shocks, I got to meet him and hang out with him. And me and Tiny, and I think Oracle too, kind of kept in touch for a while. I actually emailed him. He liked a lot of cool music. And I actually emailed him about a band coming around to Rockin' Shock that year. On the day I found out, like later on that day, I found out he had passed away.
Oh, man.
So he's a really, really cool guy. I always say to his face, not just on here, but I always say his last name wrong. But he was a sweetheart.
We started on the Stern Show.
Yeah, he was on the Stern Show. Yeah. And he's been in a pretty good amount of flicks. This was his debut, as we mentioned.
Really?
He was also in Malcolm in the Middle. He was in Bubble Boy, Men in Black 2, House of a Thousand Corpses, Big Fish.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, Big Fish.
He was great in that, actually.
Yep. Yeah.
He was in Carnival. He was in a television series, which I love. He played a demon in Constantine. And he was also Tiny in The Devil's Rejects.
That scene in The Devil's Rejects may have been the best table setting for a movie that I've ever seen. Like, I'm not, as much as I love that movie, I'm not positive it ever paid off on its setup.
Yeah.
But never have I sat in a Cineplex and had the feeling that maybe I shouldn't be watching this.
I could see that. Yeah.
So, The Dead Hate the Living, this is a flick that seems to be fairly polarizing by what I was able to dig up. It's got a 3.9 out of 10 on IMDb, which obviously is below average, pretty low. But and it's got over 1,500 reviews, so it's a pretty good sample size. But this is a shot on video film released by Full Moon, and I heard very mixed things. I heard a lot of people say this is very underrated, this is a great flick, and I've heard other people say this is terrible. So I guess, where do you guys stand? What did you think of The Dead Hate the Living?
Well, this obviously is a film made for fans, and especially by the fans. That's
almost too much.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly. I think the makers of this film try to show off their horror knowledge bit too much.
Have tried to write a horror movie before when they were very young.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
I guess we're all raising our hand.
And who,
Raven Shadow, you never wrote a movie.
And who here
fucking did?
He's written more than you have.
Yeah,
a movie.
He worked with.
He's got a comic. He's got a comic script that I am positive I will die before I'm done reading. not because I haven't started yet either, just because it's like a 1,000 pages.
You can put your hand down now.
No, wait. There's another thing.
What are you, at a Donald Trump rally? It's funny, but it could fucking happen.
Fired.
I know words. I know a lot of words.
Yeah. Now, who here filled that script up with characters named after horror movie references and streets and towns and stores and everything with as much junk as they could fill in.
It was almost as jarring as the original Daredevil film.
Where, yeah, I'd say even more so, to be honest, because I feel like, and this isn't even, this is not saying that this is better than probably anything I've ever written, but like, this probably,
I don't know about that.
This probably, I'm not a very good writer, but this probably had as many references as like the first four things that I wrote had. Like, it was outrageous. Like, every second, and not just like subtle references, like,
no, oh, like, they're right in
like
your call, face.
Like naming actors and having them be part of conversations and stuff like that. It was very, very weird.
Yeah, from mentioning like Bruce Campbell and Tom Savini to referencing Blackest Heart Media and Fulci.
Even Fulci,
lives,
right?
Yeah, talk about The Beyond too.
And I exactly. Feel like you don't know who David Warbeck
that
is.
That guy's shirt also looked like the classic Rotten Cotton shirt too. They changed whatever the logo was, but here is what I was talking about earlier. So I dated this really, really cool lady for a long time, and her and I would have to go away for kind of one of the things she did for a job. And I got to steal this movie from the video store a few days before it came out because I was going away for the weekend. And I picked this one because I remembered, I'm real busy, and I thought that in seeing it once already, I would be able to watch it one time and like kind of have the cut of its jib. But as I sat down, and started thinking about it over the last couple days, I realized that the only thing I remembered about this movie was that it felt like it should have tons of nudity and didn't have any nudity.
That blonde should have fucking geared down.
And the reason why,
right, Goro,
is that the acting and sets of this, in a lot of cases, seem like a porno, I realize.
A really bad one at that.
Well, I would see
aren't
very
they
many,
all?
No.
I would see
name
very
me
many,
a good one.
Yeah.
Barbara Broadcast. There we go. Thank you.
I'm going to cut my own head off. Barbara Broadcast.
That's not like...
Look at this. He's going to look it up.
No, I'm just
taking notes, you idiot.
Yeah, I'm just wondering from the guy who told us a cow in the house was highfalutin humor. Like, what makes Barbara Broadcast?
Not Triple X Avengers where they actually have the real Hawkeye costume or like... What was the
you
the,
love that.
Is it
Axel,
Hawkeye or
Axel
Cockeye?
Yeah, we got to get Axel Braun
on
the show
sometime.
Can we
get him on the show, please?
Why don't you fucking reach out to him?
Can I book it?
Do you really
reach
want
out to him?
Do you really want him to represent us in AOA?
I would love to Let see me, that
I, if I can do that, if I get your permission, I will reach out to
we
Axel
will end
Brown.
Up on a list.
I would. That'd be you welcome.
Adam Copeland!
People can't see what I'm watching.
I just... Yeah, There's just too many references involved, and it seems like they were too busy trying to. They were busy trying to show off their own horror knowledge.
I get it. I don't think that's the case. I think it was just my personal feeling is that it was. And I don't mean to put them down. It just was inept writing. Like, when you write your first film, it's like, I'm going to pay...
writing.
Homage to everything. Like, I love this, I love that, you know, and I'm going to pay homage to it all. And, yeah.
And
have
be
a
blatant
character.
About it.
Right.
Right in your face.
It's very amateurish.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a very narrow line you can walk. I mean, it's the idea that there is a certain section of the horror fans that hate this kind of referential writing. You know, that anytime you have a character named after a director that's, you know, they're going to just roll their eyes. It's like, ah, we see what you did there. To me, where it comes down to is if it feels like it's put in there in order to make the fans go, you see what we're doing here? Then it comes off as crass. Mm. But if it comes off as a legitimate love for this material and it's making its way into the script, then it comes off better. I mean, right now I'm looking at a movie poster that's a mashup of Night of the Creeps and the Monster Squad. Decker threw in a ton of references to horror in those two films. But we don't hold him, and say that there was just kind of a crass, you know, wink and a nod to the audience, but that was totally what he was doing. Now, with me, for Dead Hate the Living, it didn't seem nearly as, I don't know, just, again, winking at the audience, just because it felt legitimately like these guys had passion for these movies. I mean, it could have been done with a little bit more of a deft hand, but I can't find myself slighting them for this, because it really feels like these were legitimate fans of horror that were excited to throw this in there. And
for
a lot
sure.
of the stuff that they were referencing weren't, like, the big names. I mean, they weren't going... I think the most mainstream reference they made was when they were talking about Romero and Savini, but legitimately, how many people
or
watching
Bruce
this...
Campbell.
Well, and Bruce Campbell as yeah. well, yeah. But, I mean, one of the biggest inspirations they drew from this was The Beyond, mm-hmm. which, yeah. When this movie came out in 2000, I hadn't seen The Beyond yet.
No.
And then they mentioned, like, you don't know who David Warbeck is?
Yeah. It's exactly.
Like,
I mean,
you know,
who does know who
but
David
a,
Warbeck
wait,
is?
But, again, like, another, you know, like, one of my favorite movies ever, Dog Soldiers, like, most of those characters are named after famous writers or film. It's just not kind of trimmed down your throat at all.
The point I wanted to make is I think it just is in concert with a mediocre script, and I think that's being generous, and poor acting for the most part. Mm. I think when all that stuff is combined, it brings it down even more and makes it feel even more amateurish.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
and I'm not, you know, I certainly don't want to bust on the filmmakers. They made a fucking film. That's amazing. And this film has legs still to this day. And, you know, I think that's pretty cool. So, you know, we haven't even really jumped into the meat of it, but I think it seems more amateurish when you do have not so great script with not so great acting and not so great directing either. I must say that that's one thing I want to call out. The first scene was 20 minutes, I think. I'm sorry. The autopsy scene was about 5 minutes too long.
Oh,
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just was meandering, not going anywhere. And like, I get that they put something kind of like a kind of a cool little pre-title sequence in there, you know, with the
That dude, yeah.
Yeah, with the Raven zombie character.
So I wasn't alone on that.
I was so I didn't know Goro was on the show. I'm like, he's watching the same movies I am. That's weird.
Oh,
I saw the posts. I'm like, that's weird.
Oh, Jesus. But I think that editing could have... I understand making a 90-minute flick, and I know that if your flick is less than 80 minutes, somehow, to some people, it seems inferior. And I know that that's kind of the magic number, but I would much rather see a 70 or 80-minute flick that felt better than one that felt like it was just...
Yeah, padded.
Poorly edited and padded, yeah.
Yep.
And
it was this movie was severely padded.
Yeah, and that's the feeling I got early on. It's not to say that I didn't necessarily like the movie, but that's the feeling I got very early on. And
yeah, and you could definitely feel tell that this was, you know, the first real feature these guys had worked on, because
yep.
they seemed really precious with the dialogue. you know, as you were saying, this stuff could have been trimmed down.
Sure.
But sometimes you'll find with first-time filmmakers that because, especially when you got guys that are writing and directing, they get too attached to their material. And they want to have it all in, you know. It's like, oh, we wrote this. We're too, but the problem is they get too close to it.
Yep.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out if so they did actually pull in a different director. That's the other, or sorry, editor. That's a different another problem that you'll run into with some of these lower. But no, wait a minute.
It was the
correction. The director also had editing this.
Yeah, that's
which I'll give that advice to any first-time filmmakers. Never edit your own stuff. I mean, I know sometimes you're kind of forced to, but your film will generally get better if you have a different person to come in and edit it, just because you get to subvert that risk of being too precious with your material.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's one thing that I think hindered this is it was one person's vision. So I think that because of that, there wasn't anyone else who was saying like, hey, maybe we should cut this down. He was too attached to it. This is his first feature. And also, because before this, he had Dave Parker worked for Full Moon. He was in the promotional department, and he was also an editor for various films. So he had edited films. He edited trailers and other segments for Full Moon's Video Zone featurettes.
It is obvious to me that this guy loves movies, because if you look at his, you know, years later, but far superior, The Hills Run Red, there is a cinematic, you know, plot contrivance in that film. It's not just a matter of, you know, a referential thing. And there are motif references, but not spot-on references, which, you know, is just the mark of a older, smarter, more experienced writer and director. But the thing that kind of kept me with this movie a little bit this time around was that, I don't know, maybe I'm soft under the circumstances right now, or maybe I'm... Ray Michaud just looked at my lap.
But, old age. What do you want?
Maybe I'm just a nicer guy than I am generally given credit to, but like how much this guy obviously loves what I love was kind of endeared this to me a little bit.
That's the word I was just thinking of. That it definitely, regardless of what we said, there's something endearing about this film.
Yeah. I have a punk band that I played with every once in a while, and one of the three songs that we wrote was called Horror Punk Song. And the first verse went, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it did that about 20 times. And then the chorus was, I love horror movies, do you love horror movies? And I was going to do my best dancing while I was doing it. And then I realized halfway through. Danzig, sorry.
Danzig with the stars.
Then I realized halfway through.
That's a fucking show.
they'd have to find some short dancers.
And Gary Coleman.
Was that I realized that I was making fun of something that was definitely a problem with that genre. But, like, I loved all that shit, you know? And that's kind of how I felt about this, you know, was that I'm expected to be some version of a film critic, though I believe that is too much of a lofty title. So as a film critic, my job is to kind of tear this down. You know, it's not in that shooting fish in a barrel thing that El Goro and I often talk about. You know, this is just a poorly delivered film in a lot of instances, you know.
Yeah. But one of the things I did want to make, and I think it's relevant here, is I think most first-time directors cut their teeth on a short or like their own features in their backyard. And maybe this guy had, I don't know, but this kind of plays like that. It plays like this is a first feature, something that you would have seen, you know, on the VHS at your friend's house or something, you know. Obviously, they had more of a budget, obviously, but I think it was very kind of sophomoric, or not sophomoric, but amateurish.
Well, this wasn't his first directorial film.
Yeah, it looks like he did one in 97 called Bimbo Movie Bash.
Yeah, yes. I think that's a compilation, a Full Moon compilation.
Oh, okay.
Film, but he definitely made, which I've never seen, but always wanted to, Kra, the Sea Monster.
Jack Kirby character.
Well, which, by the way, is an anthology too. So that was a short. This, I guess, maybe probably is actually his first full length feature. So I'm an idiot. Sorry. See you later, everybody. Thanks for coming, well, Dynamo.
And you know, we're tearing down the script and we're tearing down some of the performances, but I think from a visual perspective, there were some great sequences in here. I mean, I love the look of the zombies on this, and yeah. I love also the fact that he decided that, I mean, obviously he's aping Fulcian. He's aping The Beyond a lot in this movie, particularly within the climax. But if I appreciate the fact that instead of making a traditional Romero-esque zombie movie, that he went the supernatural route, that he did something different than simply another riff on Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
So the fact that he chose to go that direction with it, I got to applaud him for it. And I like the look of his zombies on it. I like how each of them were distinct. That each of them had, you know, a look unto themselves that was more than just, you know, let's slap some blue makeup on these guys and set them loose.
Great character.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I totally agree. Like, there are some strong points to this for sure. And I think the character, the monster design definitely was one of the strong points.
Yeah. Well, except for Matt's makeup, right? Like, I felt like
he
was wearing a...
I do agree. If you have Matt McGrory, you don't even need makeup.
I watched
for him,
this film with Myra.
I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, but he at one point made a joke to me. We were talking about this film, and he said, like, that he's... I'm paraphrasing, and, you know, there's a few beers that we had, so I'm sorry if I'm totally misquoting or wrong, but, you know, how could there be a worse zombie? Like, not only are zombies slow and it's tough to get to you, he's obviously disabled.
Oh,
so, like, he was like, how am I ever going to catch anyone? Like, people should just be running circles around me the whole time.
The same reason that Fulci zombies move at, you know, less than a mile per hour, yet they'll still find a way to get you.
Yeah, yeah.
Paralyzed with fear.
It's true. But, yeah, I mean, he had a really good sense of humor, so he probably would have said what Wolfie just said as a joke, you know? But it's true. I felt like his Myra said this, that his makeup looked like a mask that you would kind of get at the Halloween outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it actually looked like he's wearing like an evil Ash mask.
Oh, McGrory.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He and like Wolfie said, he doesn't need to wear a mask. He's basically the modern day Rondo Hatton, you know, a guy who just didn't need a mask, who didn't need excessive makeup to make him look frightening and threatening. I mean, McGrory was 7'6", for Christ's sake. I mean, that alone should scare the hell out of you.
I have a picture of me and Oracle with him, and we look like small children. And, like, Oracle is not a, like, she's my height. She's, you know what I mean? She's a tall girl, or taller than me anyway. But, you know, like, he made us look like small children. I think Wolfie's having a stroke. But
no, I was just burping off the side. Yeah. I didn't want to be in the mic.
It all of a sudden turned into the fucking last 3 minutes of the Blair Witch Project in here. It was very strange. But, like, yeah, one thing I did mark out for, I have to say, and again, it comes from fandom, the very splash panel comic book type scene when he was flanked by the zombies behind him. Mm. And I forget what he said, like, kill, like tear them apart or some very... You know, very Dr. Doom-ish kind of dialogue there. And it was, you know, it was...
It
was pretty cool.
There were some scenes in here that were just plain old silly, like the... what was his name? What was that guy with the long hair? Was it the Raven
Shadow?
Oh, Dr. Aben?
Is Dr. Raven Shadow?
Dr. Aben?
Again, another reference to Beyond.
Right. Ibon.
Ibon.
Yes.
Like the Book of Ibon.
Right. Yeah. And there's like a scene where he's like being threatened with a gun by one of the people that's trying to survive this whole thing. And it's like he's threatening him with the gun. It's like, dude, he just killed off like three of your guys and you're just going to stand there with a gun threatening him? Dude, just shoot the fucker. You know, I mean, it's that idiot plot mentality that just pads out this movie to a point where it doesn't need to be, you know.
Yeah.
And it's
I actually like
it's not really lazy writing. It's just
I like the
it's not fully thought out.
The bad acting when they were making the movies for real in this. Like, I like the bad over the top, like, acting in the kind of Ed Wood-like scripts. I mean, the sets, rather. I did expect Dr. Reanimator to jump out at any minute, though. He'd just be like, move them dead bones.
Did you guys like
the, reanimate your feet.
Did you guys like the Puppet Master toy commercial? To be
yes.
Loved it.
Yes.
I marked out this. I marked out the logo.
I have one of the Puppet Master toys.
I know. I've seen
which
them.
One?
The I have Pinhead in a Japanese release of Pinhead.
You used to have more of them, didn't you? I thought you had a few of them.
Maybe. A long time ago, I probably did.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always wanted them. I really do like more in its design than in its delivery. Like, I really do enjoy Puppet Master.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree.
I wouldn't mind not seeing that remade.
I would mind it, because I feel like it would be like a super CG.
Yeah.
You
know?
Fair.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a one fucking
Marinette. My fucking nightmare is the inevitable. And, you know, with this Hulu channel and Roku channel, whatever it is, and everything else, like, maybe it's staving it off a little bit. But the inevitable team-up between Charles Band and Sci-Fi Channel, like, you know, I feel like something about those two entities make it ripe for the picking.
Well, if they decide to come out with, like, Puppet Master versus Sharknado, you know.
It's not a good fight.
We could look forward to
terrible.
That.
A lot of broken toys.
Ferranti's it. Hey, you never know.
Here's the thing. I
reanimate your feet.
And I got a problem. Well, several problems. But and it's not saying that it doesn't happen where I like it, but I'm not really a big fan, especially in horror movies, of movies when they're movies. There are exceptions to that, but I don't know. It's like bands singing about being in a band. I'm not really into. Goro, you with me on any of this?
Not quite there with you, because it just doesn't bug me.
No, it doesn't bug me either. If anything, I find it interesting because I'm always interested in
American band
in how films are made. I mean, yeah, that's not the full reason why the movie is there. The movie is there to entertain you, not for you to learn how movies are made. But I love it when movies like this.
But I think it's too on the nose. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's not stopping me. No. I'm sorry. It'd be like, it's too on
Re-animate
the nose.
Your feet.
Oh my god. Dance party.
They're dancing to a song and no one can hear.
That's good radio.
Yeah.
Like, why is it going to be a horror movie that evil happens? Why is it like a rom-com?
Well, because like, if it was a rom-com, then they wouldn't have any need to activate the giant, you know, coffin that put them into another dimension. Right.
You haven't seen The Notebook, sir.
That would be a zom-com.
Yeah, and my ex-girlfriend shows up. That's like a fucking Wednesday. That's not a movie. Like, that's what happens at a rom-com.
Ooh.
Actually, now I do want to see a movie where they're shooting like a romantic comedy and then all of a sudden zombies show up.
See? It's right there, Goro.
It's Nina Forever?
I mean, Shaun of the Dead, right?
They're on the set of a fucking Nicholas Sparks movie, and then all of a sudden Ryan Gosling gets torn in half, you know?
Hey, no, he wouldn't.
Spring.
Be like Jason Gedrick in Iron Eagle 2.
He'd kill those zombies. He'd be like, get your fucking brain off.
He has to die there in order to give the audience the shock value. It's like, holy shit, we just saw Ryan Gosling get torn in half.
Anything can happen.
Tatum got eaten by cannibals.
Channing Tatum could get killed, but not Ryan Gosling.
Aw. I'm sure the guys would be okay with it.
No, they're not.
let me catch up on the chat room.
Jake Gyllenhaal
was a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a fucking.
Slagoth says, Raven Shadow, I sleep on the couch too.
See, brother? It's just as comfy sometimes.
Melissa is wondering what guignol means. And Melissa, grand guignol is a French term. And in the late 19th century, early 20th century, it was a form of live entertainment. And began in France.
Oh.
And they used to do live horror shows, basically, on stage. Typically very, I guess, sleazy and bloody.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah. I'm trying to give a quick explanation. So just look it up. There's some really cool imagery with that goes along with the Grand Guignol.
Have you seen Lost River?
We all have.
Yeah, Lost River has a pretty good approximation of a Grand Guignol theater.
I understand the Unchained rating system more than what Grand Guignol means.
I just fucking explained it.
You're a fucking you're a better man than I am.
No, you guys don't, because you convinced me that the diamond. I'm sorry, that
diamond was
platinum
the best.
Was the best.
No, platinum is the best. No, shit.
Diamond is the best. That's how I got fucked up, because of you guys.
Don't look at
I
me,
told
man.
James it's your fault.
All right,
Jeremy McFarlane says the full moon film Dark Angel is fucking fantastic.
Dark Angel. That's one of my favorite independent songs, that's for sure.
Slegoff says still want El Goro and Wooberman to do a radio play of the Killing Joke. Goro is Batman, Wooberman is Joker.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Make that happen.
Yeah.
And Melissa says Hills Run Red, pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so.
Tim Nice says, I can see my man Dynamo strolling like a Western. The immortal gunslinger, Raven Shadow, would be up in the saloon paying for pussy. Monster Zero, stop letting these dudes fuck with you. Your knowledge is too strong.
It's true.
Producer Wolfie, sigh. Chris McGibbon says, it almost reminds you could be watching a better movie.
I love Chris McGibbon.
And Blau Lovitz hanging out.
Oh, Blau!
He says, holy shit, I made it.
Nice.
All right.
Tim Nice says, Goro, since you have four arms and you'll never be... Wait, what? Since you have four arms?
Yeah, the Mortal Kombat Goro character.
Oh, he said F-O-R. That screwed me up. Okay. And you'll never be on my show. Can I ask you, which arm do you use to masturbate with?
Wait a minute. Who said this?
Tim Nice.
What's to say I won't be on his show?
Yeah. I don't know. He's
on... saying I can't be on your show? What the fuck?
Oh, snap! Chains is going to be pissed.
Yeah, he's like... Yeah.
He's like he's like, oh, Tim Nice just ruined it.
The views of Tim Nice does not speak for Unchained.
You like the Independents, Goro?
What's that?
You like the Independents?
Sure.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Rocky says, guys, I'm going to have to head out soon, but great show. Everyone was on point tonight.
I love you, Rocky.
Dynamo.
Thank you, Rocky.
Dynamo, my best wishes with you for
Rocky.
For tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, I think he means Friday.
Yeah.
And look forward
that
to
That is
your-
tomorrow. Almost.
Almost, yeah. And look forward to your triumphant return, my man.
Thanks, man. I'm planning... Thanks to Alexander and
I could never finish.
And Derek Rook just told me I'm planning my comeback. So thanks, man.
They will make you better, faster, stronger for half the cost of Steve Austin. Don't piss off Oscar Goldman. Have a good night.
It's true. Just make sure you come down when I'm better, Rocky. I want all you dudes, Goro, the Cult of Muscle guys. I want everybody to come down.
Fucking A, man.
Carando.
Tim Nice.
Chris.
Tim Nice lives here, so he's...
No. He lives...
That dude's at my house right now, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, we know we can come.
Yeah.
Chris says, oh, Cooper, my guts are out. Well, we're just going to have to put them back in, which is a quote from the movie.
Oh, she's so hot.
Slegoth says, love you, Rocky. Dead Hates the Living has a fun commentary.
I've heard that. I haven't heard the commentary, but a few people who are champions of this film have mentioned that commentary.
And Chris... also says that this is Culminus. Chris says the Dead Hate the Living was at least pretty original when it came out back in 2000.
That's something very important about this film. This film came out, and I remember this. This was drum home recently in my Fangoria cover to cover book that I received in love. This really came out in a fucking drought of horror films.
Mm.
I think this might have even made the cover of Fango at the time. So. It was gory. It had zombies in it, which you guys also have to think was a anomaly at this time. And it had hero monsters, which right now is still an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to explain it, but I don't mean like superhero zombies for those of you who don't smell what I'm cooking. And if you don't want to, don't go down to the bottom floor of the crypt right now.
I got
to
piss so bad.
I feel like a lot of people who really liked this, you know, are coming from the fact that this was probably the goriest thing that came out at that time, at least domestically.
Yeah, and if we want to put it into the context of referential horror, I mean, predating this would have been Scream, which was essentially taking the tropes of horror and then referencing them in a very mainstream sort of way. You know, it's the way that the normal moviegoer would have remembered these sort of movies, where all of the references are very broad, strokey, right, and stuff like that. Whereas this felt like a Scream-esque meta commentary on the genre, but targeted much more towards the dedicated horror fan.
Right. I love...
That saw, you know, a slasher movie in a drive-in, but somebody who goes to horror conventions, somebody that dug up bootlegs of old Fulci flicks.
I love that you brought that up, El Goro, because... I was thinking this the other day and thought I would probably never get to say it, but like, I find that Randy character, like, is in a film I love, mind you. I really adore Scream.
Randy!
Like, like probably the most insulting, one of the more insulting versions of, like, you know, like horror film cliche fan ever. It's equivocal to the wrestling fans of Ready to Rumble, almost. Like, I feel Suck like it. It's just like a, you know, it's totally how they see us, not how we see us, where, you know, despite this film's flaws, this is kind of how we see us, right? These were all good-looking guys making a horror movie, like, you know, or at least normal-looking guys, you know, with pretty girlfriends and pretty sisters. That was one thing that I did notice, too. This movie was hardwired to not have sex in it. Like, how many fucking movies do two out of three of the girls that are confined in the thing are related to the lead?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like there was no, like, you know, one ding dong gets whipped out in this, and it's a totally different movie.
That'd be kind of sexy.
True. Yeah. There's a few more comments in the chat room. Slegoth says one of the first DVDs I owned back in the day, so he owned this one. Calminus Chris said definitely had a full moon feeling to it.
That it did.
Well, I do.
Tim Nye says El Goro sounds like a tougher version of Monster Zero. It's funny because Monster Zero tries to be like El Goro sometimes. Chris McGibbons,
not in the gym.
Yeah, Chris McGibbons said he said make them die slowly. Another horror reference.
Yep,
that,
you're right.
That's right.
Yeah,
I catch that when it was going on.
Yeah, yep. I was really overtaken by the by the framing and blocking of that whole setup. If you're a comic fan, you would have, regardless how you feel about this movie, you probably would have mocked out a little for that scene.
Well, and also the way they lit it. I mean, it was equal parts Argento's use of the primary colors in, like, Suspiria, but also kind of like what Romero was doing in Creepshow, where there were certain scenes were lit in a way to evoke the color palette of, like, an EC Comics.
I agree.
Now, whether or not that was intentional, considering the amount of other references they threw in there, I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But it added a nice touch to things. It gave things sort of like a comic book feel, especially when everything started going crazy.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad.
All right, I think we're all caught up, except for Melissa says, "Nighty night, boys. Thanks for keeping me company tonight."
Nighty night. Night.
Good night.
Imagine us being what keeps you fucking company at night.
Jesus. Jesus.
Who cares what's under the bed? It can only get better.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't even really touched my notes. Let me see if there's anything else I really want to discuss.
Don't do that with us in the room.
The budget was $150,000.
Wow.
Which isn't much.
That's about right.
But if you, and I know that this is an anomaly. Compare it to what Carando said he made Gunwoman for.
Mm-hmm.
$70,000.
Right.
Ooh, Jesus.
That's less than half of this. And that's not fair because Gunwoman is an exceptional film. And you'd never know it. Like if Carando told us he made it for $7 million, I'd be like, okay, yeah, like I could see that. Yeah,
I'm a dick, but if you give me how much was this movie made for?
This one here,
yeah,
$150,000.
You give me $150,000, and you see what I do with it.
What are you gonna do with it?
Probably
buy comic books.
The catering would be fucking fantastic.
Probably leave the country and be hanging out in BC with.
Craft service with like a motherfucker.
Me and CD, I'd go comic shopping with CDR every day.
Yeah, then go to Carando's house.
I'd go hang out with Carando. Like, maybe I would, and then at the end, I'd be like, here's my movie.
Yeah, then you can, then with whatever is left over, say $70,000, you can make Gunwoman.
No, I couldn't.
Well, Carando's the exception. Manborg is the exception. You know, the Astron 6 guys, like.
Yeah, you give me $150,000, I'm just going to give it to Carando and get a sweet producer credit, and that's all I'm going to ask for.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's difficult to compare that, but $150,000 is, you know, that's a pretty modest budget, and I think what they had, I think they did a pretty good job with.
From 16 years ago.
I'm buying an Avengers number one, and then I'm going to lure you guys into a theater to watch the Tuck Dance.
Oh, shit. We could rent multiple theaters, make more money on the Tuck Dance video.
So
no, I think you'd lose money.
Yeah. It'd be like the producers. We'd try to make it bomb, and it would be fucking huge.
Yeah. Yep.
So one.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that one thing about this film is I think I think this could have been a hugely influential film if a couple things had been done a little bit differently. Now, I think that speaks to the originality and some of the cool concepts that they had, because I do applaud them for a lot of what they did. I think just the execution was off, and I think it really could have been a way more influential film, because I think they had a lot of really original ideas. And that one scene that I loved was what was the main baddie's name again? The Rob Zombie Raven Shadow guy?
Dr. Ibon.
Dr. Ibon.
Okay, yeah. Dr.
Gonna move your dead bones.
So when his woman, I guess, when she kind of comes to life and talks, I thought that scene was fucking creepy as hell. And
yeah.
it almost reminded me a little bit of the Send More Cops from Return of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Like, there was something that kind of, it almost took it to another level for me. And I thought that was a really cool scene. And I just think that there's so many brilliant things about this, but the execution really brought it down. Now, I can look past a lot. I can look past, you know, like a mediocre script and you know, poor acting if a lot of other things are done well. But I just think that too many things brought this down to really make it stand out too much. By the way, we're watching here in studio, the guy who's at the cash register, they're at the store, that's the director, Dave Parker.
Nice.
Okay.
So he had a little cameo here.
One thing I will say, the only bit of special effects that just did not work for me, and I completely understand why they did it this way, but man, the burn sequence.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, that was fucking awful.
That was terrible.
And again, I completely understand why you do it that way. You know, their low budget thing, I doubt they would have any of the proper permits. It was a closed set, so the ventilation would have been terrible. You don't want to set, you know, that set on fire. But God, if you can't pull it off well, maybe you change the finale.
Right. Yeah,
just look fucking
off. Have them die some other way.
It reminded me when Vince Vaughn got lit on fire at the end of Be Cool.
And one other thing I wanted to point out, I think this is my last note that I'll bring up, is they kind of almost did the Walking Dead gimmick before Walking Dead by disguising themselves as zombies.
Yeah.
Like, I know in Walking Dead it was a little different, where they covered themselves in zombie guts so that they couldn't smell that they were living, but I thought that was kind of similar, and this was done before the comic came out, so.
Hell, it was done before Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, there you go.
Which predated even that.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Anyone else have anything to add before we head to a verdict about this flick?
No.
No? All right.
Get busted.
Let's cue the busta.
Trick or treat, baby.
I wonder if people would say you're a trick or a treat.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
All right, verdict time, trick or treat. Any final thoughts? Let's go in reverse. Johnny Wolfenstein, what'd you think? Well, I... man, it's getting late.
Yeah, it is. Courage, man.
That was bad. I think the rating I'm going to give it is a little unfair, because I think their heart was absolutely in the right place. And I think this could have been so much better. And I think it even was bordering on classic with a few tweaks. If the acting was a little better, if the script was a little better. And I definitely feel the heart was there. I can tell they had reverence for the genre and, you know, and just horror in general. But the script, it was just too poor for me to look past. And the acting was barely tolerable at times. And I don't know. I just think I think it was close, but it wasn't quite there. So this one for me is barely a trick. I'm going to go on you know, just the barely a trick, because I think they had a lot of good stuff going on, but I think the execution was just a little bit too poor for me to go with a treat for this one. So trick for me, El Goro.
I'm actually going to completely reverse my sum up of Kill or Be Killed, because to me this was almost a trick and barely a treat, because... like you said, there is a lot of heart that goes into it, and I guess for me that carried the film a little bit more for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of the performances were bad. Yes, they were a little too precious with the script, but this was actually felt like it was coming from a legitimate, pure horror fan place, not just somebody that was trying to cash in on it. And when you combine that with some nice visual effects, a supernatural take on the zombie genre, which we don't see all that often. There was enough in there that I could say I enjoyed it. So it's just barely a treat, but it's definitely more than a trick for me.
All right, Raven Shadow.
This was a really good at-bat.
So they felled off like 10 pitches.
Yeah, kind of like Johnny Damon, 2004 Red Sox.
And then they hit one, like the crowd is going,
yeah.
And it just misses a home run and gets caught, right?
That's the thing. Yeah. There was the foul. There was the fielding it off. You know, your starter is throwing a lot of balls. And it really is, it's a little bit of, or a lot of bit of nudity away from a first base.
I don't think that was the problem with this movie, sir.
I'm saying it would have helped me at that time of night.
You do know what porn tube is, right?
Don't fucking tell me. I'm trying to wrap this up. Remember, children, wherever you go.
You better wrap it up.
Yeah. So barely a trick.
All right, MZ.
You got to appreciate the fact that these guys are fans of horror films, and a lot of times, you know, filmmakers just want to break into the business, so they figure break into the horror business, and they'll take off from there.
These guys were all horror.
They weren't trying
to break in.
Oh no, I understand that. I understand that, but. The film got too referential for me to get past anything else, let alone the shitty acting, the shitty lighting, and the shitty story. I just could not like this film, and if they wiped out maybe like 80% of the references that they made, the movie would be much more tolerable. Because even with bad lighting, bad acting, bad this and bad that, making a movie is still an achievement in and of itself. But when you put in bad writing and make it so referential, I just can't get past it. You know, life is too short to watch shit like this. this is a trick.
Says the guy that
watches
his
butt crack.
Yeah,
goddamn right.
All right, Mars.
Was this film perfect? No way, Jose. Was it dumb? It made my company in here look brilliant. But did I laugh a few times? Did I smile? Did I? Did I feel like it wore out its welcome? I enjoyed this. I'm gonna say it's a treat.
All right. What did Myra think?
I think what she saw, she thought was pretty dumb.
Oh, okay.
But she has no soul, let's be honest. She's the personification of evil.
This one was pretty much right down the middle. Mars thought it was a treat. MZ thought it was a trick. And then the rest of us were pretty much on the fence. It could have gone either way. So this is certainly an interesting flick that, you know, I think if you haven't seen, it's one of those ones that gets a lot of play in you know, horror circles and more culty kind of circles, I guess. So I would seek this one out and, you know, check it out for yourself. And, you know, if you like kind of schlocky horror, let's maybe right down your alley. I could see people loving this film, yeah. You know. And like I said, I think it was really close to being a very influential classic film. Mm-hmm. Yep. But there was just too many things that were just wrong that brought it down for me. So, but it is an interesting one. So everyone should go check out The Dead Hate the Living, yep, and see what you think.
I'm just kidding, Myra. Please don't kill me. Write a song about it.
All right. So that is going to do it for our film reviews. And we have just a little bit of feedback.
Just a little bit.
Ease the feedback.
So why don't we go ahead and check that out? We have, let me go ahead and refresh the SpeakPipe app. We got a couple during the show. Let's hear from our buddy Slagoth.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up, Trick or Treat Radio fellas? Slagoth here. It was a long fucking day today. Pollen is fucking killing me. By the end of the day, I look like Rodney fucking Dangerfield with the eyes bugging out of my fucking head.
You get no respect.
Anyway, wanted to call in and just give a shout out. And a hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Love you guys.
Hey, hey.
And pretty sure El Goro's got a birthday coming up on Saturday.
Oh.
So happy birthday, El Goro.
Hey.
And to Nick, thinking about you every day, brother. And good thoughts. Love and light, for sure. And so I'm going to read a T.S. Eliot poem that was put in the first chapter, before the first chapter, of The Wastelands from Stephen King, that is Dark Tower Book 3. And I just need to read this to you guys because, I want to read it to you.
Yeah, please, sure.
And here we go. A heap of broken images where the sun beats and the dead tree gives no shelter. The cricket, no relief. And the dry stone, no sound of water. Only there is a shadow under this red rock. Come in under the shadow of this red rock, and I will show you something different from either your shadow in the morning striding behind you, or your shadow in the evening rising to meet you. I will show you fear in a handful of dust. T.S. Eliot, The Wasteland. Love you guys. Can't wait to hear it on Friday.
Cool, bud.
Thank you, Slagoth. Love you too, buddy.
Yeah.
And you class up the joint with your poetry reading, so we appreciate that.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, for sure. What else we have here? A couple. You know what? You guys want to hear from Dynamo's Boo?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Jakey Poo.
Oh, snap.
Dynamo's Boo. All right, let's hear from Jakey.
Tree Radio! It's your boy, Jakey Poo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in my car right now because it's raining outside. It won't stop raining.
Can't rain all the time.
Eric Draven said, can't rain all the time. He's full of shit.
It is.
Asshole. Anyways, just wanted to send in some feedback because you're my dudes.
Yeah, you're our dude.
Had a quick question. It's a pretty simple one. I probably know the answer for at least one of you guys, but a little one versus the field kind of question. If you were to only have access to American films for the rest of your life, or have access to the entire world's movies except for America, which would you choose?
Ooh.
You know, if you pick America, you can only watch American movies, and that's it. But if you pick the world, you can watch any of the world's movies, but you can't watch any more American films. And I know that's complicated because, you know, is Alien an American film, even though it's directed by a British dude, you know, filmed in, you know, England and all that fun stuff.
20th century
basically
Fox,
Hollywood and any of the American independents, that is American film. So just a quick little question, just curious what your guys' answer will be, if it's a hard question or not. But that's it. And I know, just judging by the pattern, I'm sure right before this was played, you must have heard something like, oh, I love Jakey. You know, and I just want to say, I love you, Dynamo. I love you, bro.
I love you.
I'm thinking of you. I'm giving you all them well wishes and
thanks,
stuff.
Buddy.
But my love isn't just for you, bud. I love all you guys.
No. There you go.
On the show. I don't know if El Goro is still around.
Yeah.
But goddamn, yeah, do I love me some El Goro. One of them godfathers of podcasting that I listen to podcasting. Listen to after I was done podcasting. Listen to while I was getting back into podcasting. You're my dude. You're a swell guy.
Oh, boy.
Raven Shadow.
Yes, sir.
You bring me so much laughter, and I think you are truly the idiot savant of the podcast, because the you might play it off like you're not aware of what's happening or what the movies you're watching are or any of that shit, but you will drop a fucking bomb that will make me laugh so fucking hard, and I look forward to it every week. Deceptively clever, good sir. Far clever, far more clever than people give you credit for.
Thank you, sir.
MZ, you are my steady diet of I have never heard that before in my fucking life. And I'll be damned, we're all better people for being exposed to things we have never heard.
I agree.
Before in our entire lives. You know, a wealth and a variety of opinions. And I respect that, and I love that, and you're a genuine dude, and I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks,
Johnny,
man.
You're an awesome dude.
Oh, man.
Your acts of podcasting heroism are documented and well-recognized. When you saved MZ from just leaping off the cliff of Oscars So White, that was one of the most breathtaking rescue missions I've seen in my entire life. You were like, I've never seen somebody so willingly ready to jump off a cliff, and you reached there. Out with your 38-inch python to just grabbed him and said, I will save you. I will save you, MZ, from tremendous embarrassment and tomfoolery. And it was absolutely beautiful. So I got to give you love for that. And Dynamo.
Thanks.
Dynamo.
Aw.
I just want to say this.
He's going to cry.
I am. I'm crying already.
Ryan Gosling is the worst fucking actor. He ain't even that good looking. He ain't even that good looking. He is a blank slate that exists in these great movies, and they people consider him great just by proxy, just because he's sitting there making a bewildered expression, not knowing what the fuck is going on, or how to emote, or how to convey anything to the audience. Rob Zombie is straight garbage director, garbage writer, and he is the living embodiment that just because you want to do something, just because you're passionate about something, you do not have to do that thing. And Edgar Wright, obnoxious, terrible, awful.
Shit.
Shaun of the Dead, you go Dine of Fire.
Whoa.
I love all you guys.
I don't know about that.
Take care.
Wow.
Whoa.
I think he needed to get it out of his chest case you don't make it.
Was that a heel turn?
Yeah.
I think it might have been.
No, he said some good things about some people.
I think just in case you don't make it, he needed to get that shit out of his chest.
Yeah.
He just slammed the face in front of a fucking Von Erich that was such a heel turn.
True. Jesus. Yeah.
Those are like your favorite things in the world.
He was like fucking Six Shooter from fucking the Toulon's Revenge. He had fucking six guns.
I was waiting for Myra. She's not that great.
Yeah. And fuck Frankenstein, you fish. Your fish is dumb. Like, whoa, slow it down. Yeah. Wow. It's a fine fish.
Your cat, I hope your cat gets alopecia.
Yeah. Well, I love you just the same, Jake.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, boy.
He made some really good points, though.
Oh, my God.
To name one.
Raven Shadow is deceptively clever.
Me saving MZ's ass.
That was good.
His opinion of Ryan Gosling.
That was masterfully stepped in. And just like, no, we're not fucking going there. Just stop.
Yeah. I think it's giving you two credit discredited anything you said later on.
So. Yeah. No. I've been saying it all along that Ryan Gosling sucks as an actor, and he agrees.
Well, so to the task at hand, Jake did ask us a question before all that. And now we have to choose.
I forgot about
that. American films. Or the films of the world with no
is
America.
It moving forward American films or all the American
all
film
time.
Catalog?
All time.
All right.
He didn't say it, but I'm guessing that's what he meant.
All right.
I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
Fuck USA.
Whoa!
Tui. I'm taking the world, motherfuckers.
I break your back. I break you humble.
I break your films.
Fuck you, Hollywood Hogan.
I fuck you in the ass.
USA, Ach Tui. I'm taking the world, fuckers.
Wow. I couldn't go without John Carpenter. So it's like even if there was another thing, like it would be just that simple.
Right. Now, do you remember the films, or is it like? You know, I don't know what Goodfellas ever was. Like, do I remember it?
I think it's one of those that somebody says you can never watch these movies ever
again. So I don't think
you have the memory of watching them. You just can never watch them again.
Because if they took out your memory, then what the fuck do you care?
What if I'm in Japan and it's on the Japanese station?
You can't watch it, man. This is...
You're making this more difficult than it
Jake
needs to be.
Jake is the fucking Beyonder. We are in his battle world. We got to fight by his rules.
Yep. Doesn't matter where we are.
See, Gore, you made a Beyonder reference. Now I'm all there fucking set. I fully understand what you're talking about.
See, you can't watch real people doing real things because you won't be able to fucking understand them.
Oh,
in
what about your
ever
precious Starborgs? What's it called? Star Wars episode, whatever the fuck.
Can we leave, please?
Yeah. Whatever the fuck.
Civil War, Batman, Superman.
All right, Jackman. So you're taking USA.
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 All right, MZ.
All right. Well, you know, I gotta weigh the options here. I mean,
you've had about 5 minutes
now. Am I allowed to watch? Like, now, I mean, I can't watch. No, shut. Stop it. I'm building up to something. Watching all this great horror and other kinds of film from around the world, or do I get to watch the rest? Do I get to watch Police Academy series?
Oh fuck!
You know,
that's the fucking decider. Steve Guttenberg is going to win it.
I just can't give up Soul Man.
Oh, shit. That's a good point. I mean, yeah.
What you looking at?
Dick Nose?
What are you looking at, Dick Nose? All right, MZ, what is it?
All right, or One Crazy Summer. But I am going to have to choose The World.
Yeah, buddy. All right, Dynamo.
I already said, I couldn't go without JC.
All right. El Goro.
I'm right there with Dynamo, man. I couldn't give up John Carpenter. Plus, if we're sending it to stuff that was made by American studios, then that choosing The World would also preclude the entire filmography of Stanley Kubrick. So fuck that. I'm going USA.
Shit. Fucking. Still winning.
And if you were a pack of cigarettes, he wouldn't give you up either.
Crypt Keeper John Carpenter, I just can't quit you.
Big Trouble Little China.
What do you think was the matter with Jake?
I turned heel because Jake turned heel.
Yeah. You got turned into the devil.
Well,
now,
that was
counting Canon Films as being USA or World. I mean, there were two Israeli guys behind it, so
it's true. That's a tough one.
I don't know that kind of
wasn't
you know,
that office on
the
Hollywood
there.
Boulevard though.
Yeah, I think it's Hollywood Films and Canon's kind of Hollywood.
All right, so Jake,
you get turned into Spider-Man.
Turkish Spy. Yeah, I can watch it all fucking day long.
Yeah, all them statuettes.
Yeah. Jakey Poot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for the question, my friend. And everyone go check out The Cult of Muscle on iTunes. Are they on Stitcher, Dynamo? I listen to everything on iTunes.
I listen on Stitcher.
iTunes, Stitcher, and then also they're on Libsyn. So go check them out.
Fucking.
And let's.
I miss one voicemail week and see what happens.
Yeah. All right, let's hear from Anonymous.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
We need a title belt up in here.
It comes crashing down and it hurts inside. You gotta be a man, you don't have to hide. If you hurt my friends, it's when you hurt my pride. I gotta be a man, I can't let it slide. I am a real American. Fight for what's right,
none of us
know
fucking words.
I'm a real American.
You know,
fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
You know, we got that green screen in the next room.
We do.
24-inch
python in your asshole, brother.
Right or wrong?
10-inch python.
Got a fucking knee in it.
Don't change trouble for very long.
MZ knows the words.
That's the voicemail of what you guys.
Courage is the thing that keeps us free.
More words?
I am a real American. Fight for what's right or whatever I can. I am a real American.
touching my daughter in inappropriate ways. A real
American. USA, ah, tween.
You got to move like the sheep.
Go Trump. Shit.
It's so huge, I can fit it in my pocket.
I didn't even hear him singing in the background.
Oh, was he? Oh, I thought that was Goro.
We were singing over him.
What's name, man?
I thought it was Goro, too. No?
He made some joke about putting in Raven Shadows.
Wait, play back the entire message. No.
Jesus, no.
I think this episode's turning into USA versus the world or something. Man.
Not the first time.
All right, you guys want to hear from the Bicycle Man?
Bicycle Man? That makes me kind of nervous, considering what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, right.
Run, Dudley, run!
What's the old saying, Arnold? You scratch my back, I scratch yours. This sounds like a job for Captain Banana Split. Oh, you like place. Bananas, don't you, Arnold? I bet you're a whipped cream man, too. You know, there's just one thing. Maybe it would be best, you know, if you didn't even mention I gave you all this ice cream before dinner. Why don't we make it our little secret? You know something, Arnold? I like you. I really like you. You and I are going to have a lot of great times together. Oh, well, go where the nose goes, because the nose knows.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, no.
There's nothing wrong with being naked. There's a good reason for looking at the human body and admiring it.
Oh, Jesus.
You can have an awful lot of fun with your clothes off.
This is no good.
What is this?
I'm feeling all tingly inside.
Pizza would taste a whole lot better with a glass of wine. Oh. Certainly warms your tummy on a cold day like today, huh?
Fuck me, man.
You know, guys, we should be playing some games. Let's make this more authentic. Dudley, take your shirt off.
Oh, Dudley, run!
Let me help you with that.
Oh, God.
Ah, that's nice. Oh. Oh, boy, he's got a great physique, huh? Let's show those muscles, Dudley.
I'm in a safe place.
We're going to take some pictures, have a little more wine, and take some more pictures.
Trick. We're going to be on a list.
Guys, we're just going to have a great time this afternoon.
We're not going to.
What sort of human remains?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Curly's Cartoon Cavalcade.
Oh, my God.
I bet you guys haven't seen Murphy the Mouse. After the cartoon's over, we'll play Neptune.
Oh, shit. I don't want to do that.
No.
King of the Sea.
Fuck.
Jesus.
The music just amps it up.
Remember when you said, hold on, I just want to just like timestamp this. Remember when you said you want to hear from the bike man and I very succinctly and very decisively said no? And then you heard from the bike man anyway?
The bike
That's your
man?
Fault.
Oh.
Yeah, where's your producer skills now?
Yeah. Well, I turned heel too with Jakey.
That doesn't mean we all had to go.
Well, let's go to the showers downstairs.
Thank you, bicycle man.
I mean, we're all adult.
Yeah, that's fun. Show me your muscles, MZ.
I have a very serious question I want to ask, actually.
Sure.
Play Neptune. Do you think that rapey Mr. Carlson would like Arnold more if he knew that he was way actually above the age of consent? Or would like him less?
Jesus. Probably less.
Don't answer, Johnny.
And how, after getting obvious felony like that, did that dude end up running a radio station? Anyone?
Nope.
I think this station was before.
No, it was after.
I think WKRP predated Different Strokes.
Nope. I don't think so.
WKRP started, I think, in like 1975, 1976. Different Strokes started in 78.
Really? So yes. It was after?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was...
And that particular episode started around 1980, I think.
Because there was the original very ghetto. Because
you're the idiot savant.
No, I'm just an
the
idiot.
Savant part.
No, because Dudley didn't come into the picture until, I think, 2 years after. So I think it was around, I'm almost certain that's what it was, around 1980.
But do you remember the original intro with the limos, like in Harlem? And like in the real hood?
Yeah.
And then it changes? Like,
yeah.
It was.
Oh, Goro, can you believe this is really happening right now?
I'm trying not to think about it, man.
Hey. Thanks, a bicycle, man. Don't
hearing those fucking lines, it just sent me into a really dark place from my childhood, man.
Yeah, you know what? It seems a whole lot dirtier when you just hear those lines.
No, it seems pretty dirty when it was going down.
Yeah, that's a fucking horror
film. I've seen the show and I didn't recognize any of those lines.
Get the fuck out!
I do. You can't.
As soon as he called himself the Bicycle Man, yeah, I'm like, right. Fuck.
There was a Super Greg and Waterpark song all about it.
No, I don't.
No, actually, it was a line in Sasquatch. Come on and play.
And then we're gonna watch some more cartoons, take some more pictures, have some more wine.
Stop.
And boys, we're gonna be really good friends.
Stop.
Oh, because they were playing Tarzan, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Arnold dropped Trow and
come on, we gotta go.
I don't think Arnold was touched. Dudley took one of the team.
Dudley never left that bicycle shop.
No. He was never heard from again.
He's still there.
A team player.
He went in as a boy and left as a man.
I like Rob Zombie. I don't care what Jakey says.
Oh boy.
Wow, I thought it took a turn.
Who the hell was Bicycle Man anyway?
I know exactly who he is.
I know exactly who it is.
All right, we have one more voicemail.
Let's go.
From Tom C.
From Dudley.
Hey guys, last week I asked a question before my trivia question. I think you must have just forgotten about it. But if you'd like to give it a crack tonight, the question was, if you could only watch one horror movie or horror series for the rest of your life, what would it be? All right, thanks a lot.
That's a good question.
I feel it's a different question.
It's kind of like Jakey's, but way different.
Yeah.
It's all these Sophie's Choice motherfuckers up in here.
I know, right? So one movie or series. Now, when he says series, does it mean series of films or television series?
Series of films, I'm thinking. He says, what's your favorite movie?
Ask the Beyonder.
Or movie series.
Okay.
Let's go with movie series.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. TV show, too.
All right. Dynamo, you had something?
I guess The Thing. Or Jaws. Okay. This is hard. Jaws, I guess.
So you'd be in a constant state of fear.
Welcome to my real life.
Now, would it just be the movie or the whole series?
Well, I don't think you'd want the whole series.
Oh, come on. Come
Jaws 2 with Tom Normandy? Awesome.
Come on, the revenge was awesome.
All right, MZ, what's yours? If you don't know, pass.
Yeah, we'll pass, because I got to think about
Raven this. Raven Shadow, one. Do you have any ideas?
Just pick
something.
Horror.
Yeah, just pick something.
Nobody has
how
to
many,
know that
how many horror movies have you seen?
What's that noise? Are you in the back room with Mr. Carlson or what?
Are you?
You've seen three horror movies.
I've seen
pick
three.
One. Yeah.
Just say what I said, Jaws.
Jaws, In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh, that's MZ's glory hole.
No, I don't want that. Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, because it's ongoing. And it's over six seasons.
Do we have to work in the Mouth of Madness into this episode title?
I don't know, man.
What was it? Walking Dead?
Give me a
that's
second.
Not a movie series.
Give me a second.
Jesus Christ. You went
from fucking T.S. Eliot to the fucking bike man.
I know.
We're all fucked up. You know, the episode of fucking Different Strokes is fucking scaring the shit out of me.
Hey, Goro, do you have an answer?
I'm just going to cheat and go with John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy, The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and In the Mouth of Madness. And if you dispute that, fuck you.
All right, I'm with Goro. I'm on
it's
Team Goro.
It's after midnight, man.
Yep, it sure is.
Going to let it all hang out, I guess.
Let's do this.
You know what? Just because it's fresh in my memory and I just reviewed it on Unchained, I'm just going to go with fucking Delamorte because I love that movie.
Good pull.
Good one.
You know, I'm going to go Cannibal Holocaust.
You're a fucking psychopath.
He's going to watch that turtle scene over and over and over.
I'm going to say
Rob. He knows what he likes.
Yep. What are you going to say, Mars?
I'm going to say Robin.
Of all the Muppets.
I pick Magic.
All right. Well, that is it for voicemail. I don't think we have any email. As for tweets, we got one tweet that I wanted to read. Actually, we got two. Slay Goth had tweeted out and said, I don't know who this is to, Mary San Giovanni says, the Deadites do a show called Trick or Treat Radio. These guys are awesome. They're out of Boston. Check them out. So thanks for that, Slay Goth. You're always promoting, man. You're always
thank you,
the
brother,
best. And our buddy Punch Farm, who tweets us from time to time, says, hey, Deadites, awesome interview with Carando. Thanks again for introducing me to new films and filmmakers. Rock on.
Nice.
You're very welcome, Punch Farm. As always, we appreciate hearing from you, bud. So whenever you get a chance to tweet at us, we always appreciate it. And that's it for tweets. We got no emails. Pretty light feedback week, which is good because we're going to finish about 3 hours. Elgora, why don't you go ahead and tell folks what is coming up on Talk Without Rhythm, and also just refresh their memory where they can find it.
All right. Well, if you're looking for me, you can find me on the main website, tworpodcast.blogspot.com. Alternatively, you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher. Pretty much if you can find a podcast, Talk Without Rhythm is on there. And as I had said before, this month is all dedicated to some of my favorite directors. So the next episode we got coming up is devoted to Takashi Miike. So we're going to be doing Ichi the Killer, The Great Yokai War, and his episode of Masters of Horror Imprint. After that, we're going to do some David Cronenberg, some movies that I haven't covered on the show yet. So the Cancer Man's going to come back in the house, and we're going to cover Existence and Cosmopolis. And then we're going to be ending the month with a Darren Aronofsky episode. Again, some movies we haven't covered on the show yet. So we're going to be doing The Fountain and Noah.
I love The Fountain.
Oh, I
absolutely
good.
Love The Fountain. The only downside is we've covered all of his other movies, so the only movie we had left to pair it with was Noah.
Which wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I love Aronofsky, so yep. I'll be looking forward to that episode for sure. So
right on.
Cool. So everyone go check out El Goro and the Talk Without Rhythm podcast. He is continually hitting home runs every single fucking week. He's not doing that thing where he has a really great at-bat and then hits one right to the wall and it gets caught. He's knocking it out of the park on a weekly basis.
No, I just run out of energy halfway through the show, so the bat just kind of slumps. I manage to bunt it and I get on base. It's all good.
It's all that matters.
Sounds like my bedroom.
All right.
I don't watch baseball. I'm making these analogies that just are completely breaking down.
Well, hey, I never would have known.
I managed to bunt right into a field goal.
MZ is playing a fucking Different Strokes episode right now.
God damn it.
It's fucking horrifying.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep, he sure is.
I love it has the TBS logo on the bottom. Which
you,
is
my friend, are reprehensible.
Hey, I didn't make it.
All right. Slagoth just posted in the chat room and says her book Thrall. She writes horror. Follow her on Twitter.
Nice.
So
I'll do it.
Cool stuff.
So he was referring to Mary San Giovanni, who is a writer. So awesome. Thank you for that and for pointing that out to us, Slagoth. And real quick in the chat room, Nick Knack said America Die Hard. Easy choice for me. Saves me the time of picking and choosing. So Nick Knack wants America for Die Hard.
Yes.
And Slagoth said, would miss Lucio, but USA. So there you go. A lot of people are choosing USA. Why don't you go ahead and, MZ, say goodbye to the folks.
Arrivederci, douchebags.
And me and MZ have a big fantasy baseball draft coming up this weekend.
We do.
We're going to drink wine, eat pizza.
we're going to take pictures with our shirts off, too.
And drink more wine.
Drink wine.
Topless from Mars. All right, Raven
Shadow. I think Dudley was playing.
Raven Shadow.
Bambaleo to you all.
To your aunt?
No, to all of you. All of you guys.
All y'all?
Especially you, Goro.
All y'all's beans?
Bambaleo.
All right, Mars, you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, two quick things.
Yeah.
If you made it all the way to the end, Myra, don't worry, kids. Me and you are going to be just fine. And lastly, I've been wanting to say this for some reason for 180-something episodes, but I was inspired by Slagoth, and I thought today might be a good time, and this could be very appropriate. The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed. Remember, children, wherever you go, they are.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 189. Big thank you to our boy El Goro for coming on and classing the joint up for us. Always fucking great time to hang
out
with
him. Pull the Bobby chains for sure.
Anytime you want me, guys, I'm there.
All right, man. We always appreciate that. Everyone go check out Talk Without Rhythm. And next week, episode 190, we're going to review the flick Frankenstein. And we have a free segment. I'm not sure what we're going to do yet, but we'll figure something out.
Dynamo
Memorial. We may posthumously induct him into the Hall of Legends.
Nice. Good. Good timing.
So, everyone.
Next week, Tiny will be back.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, episode 189. We will see you next week. See you then.
Hello.
All right. Is it me you're looking for?
Nope.
Damn it.